Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian the Bear, and I am here with my gang of gays that love Lay's. Sponsored by Lay's Potato Chips. You know, buy one, get one free at Publix this week. Dill pickle and BLT are our flavors of choice. Take that nerdy show in your Doritos thing.
Yeah, so the gayest flavor of Lay's, dill.
Is this becoming a thing?
It could be. They made the Doritos thing their thing. We can make the in the Lay's. It makes sense.
What did you call it, Jared? The Lay's for gays or something?
Yeah, Lay's for gays.
Yeah.
Lay's for gays. Yeah. Let's make this a thing.
Okay. Lay's for gays.
Okay, Lay's like for gays. That. Now, I have clockwise here. We got Jared.
Hi.
The amazing and multi-talented draw friend. I don't like that draw friend thing either, but
please take that out.
Why?
Edit.
No. Tony, it's Tony's thing.
Keep going.
All right. Draw buddy. So super draw brother. We have Eric.
Yeah, hello.
The shoeless muscle daddy.
Somebody stole my sneakers.
I don't know why. I mean, no, they were fabulous sneakers.
No, they weren't. They were crap.
But someone liked them. Maybe they had a foot fetish and they wanted to just like sniff your sneakers.
Ew.
Does that make you feel better?
Well, if it was that big muscly guy, I would be okay with
that.
Well,
there you go. And we have the question.
Who, me?
Fresh off of his New York Comic Con adventure.
Yes.
Which is very exciting. We're going to hear all about
New
that.
York.
Oh, sorry. How many are there, Eric? You might know that.
Oh, yes, yes. Of course. You didn't mention my name, did you?
No, I knew not okay, to good, from good, last good, time. I still haven't recovered from that knife wound.
And, of course, the lovely Oral.
It's showtime, Synergy.
So we need to add that in there. I forgot. The gym dolls. Anyway, let's get...
Oh, I was going to ask what that was from.
Let's get right into the movies, because there is a lot of movie news, and
wait a minute,
actually a few things.
You don't
oh, God,
know about
what?
Gem?
I never watched it.
Well, you were
but
too
Cap
young.
Has showed me a few episodes.
Well, did he show you Gem or Jizz?
Is there a difference?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a big
well, one is voiced by a man, and the other...
like hard,
no,
dude.
Wait. Let's do the agenda, Brian.
I'm saying we're going to get in some movie news. We're going to do some television, of course. The big fall season starts back up.
We were just taken off guard that you're a shitty gay man who didn't know what Gem is. You can't get...
Listen, I'll admit something right now. I didn't watch Gem either. But I have seen Jizz since then, and it's
I've
fabulous.
Yes, Jen yes. Was... We all have seen Jizz in this
okay,
room.
Okay. Focus. Oh. Focus.
Sorry, we're a little ADD today. Mm-hmm. So there is some music news, there is some gay news, and of course, our comic news.
Let me take over on for the movie news, if you don't
please
mind.
Please go for it.
Justice League and Avengers 2 are going to come out in summer of 2015.
That's exciting.
You thought this summer was big with Dark Knight Rises and Spider-Man and
Avengers. What else? Wasn't there another one?
I think there was.
But what I want to know is, do you really believe it's going to happen? Do you actually think they are going to do it? I know they're trying to, but I
think it's going to happen. After the success of the Avengers, they have to. They have to give us something.
Yeah.
I just shove it down my throat.
Would you please?
You did that earlier, okay.
Oh, heavens.
I will say this. I believe in Avengers 2 because Joss Whedon is still at the helm. But as for Justice League, I'll believe it when I see it.
I want to know who the director is. I want to know who the screenwriter is. I want to know who's going
to
be in it.
Anybody, anything.
Because it's too early. That's why I'm...
Well, did you guys hear that Warner Brothers won the rights for Superman, like the full rights against the creator?
Siegel and Schuster.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
One of the two.
I know it sucks for them, but Warner Brothers, they said now if they have that, they're moving like full steam ahead because Superman's obviously in that movie.
Right.
And they're going to use some of the rights they won.
So we think that they'll have Superman. They'll probably have a rebooted Batman,
mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman. So instead of the Avengers approach where they actually built up from individual characters to the group, this will be the group with Superman and maybe Batman continuity, I don't know. And then they'll springboard it off into having Flash and maybe Green Lantern, different
ones. Who knows?
One.
Who knows? They could do anything. If they wanted to keep it grounded, they could just do a couple of them. And then if it goes well, they could spin out more characters into a sequel.
Yeah.
So,
I wonder if they'll use... I mean, I'm sure... Well, I don't know. I was like, if they use the Baz, the new Green Lantern, that'd be
oh, yes. That will never happen. But yes, that would be awesome.
Be cool. So, Wolverine, this is kind of recent news.
Yeah, heard this today.
Yeah.
It's a terrible. Not,
what? It's not a prequel.
A sequel to X-Men 3. That's not a lot of hope there.
What?
X-Men 3 was an abomination.
Well, but I think the idea there, and this may tie into the First Class stuff, Because now Mark Millar, I always do Mark Millar. Mark Millar is the creative. He's like the Joss Whedon of the Fox Marvel properties, mm-hmm. of the X-Men stuff, and I guess maybe Fantastic Four. And, I mean, it sounds like they're trying to do something with Days of Future Past, where they may somehow reset continuity. I don't know.
Picard. Patrick Stewart. He's gonna signed be on it. To do the futuristic Professor Xavier. Yep. So.
I mean,
Jean Grey was rumored to have a
Everybody
role in
Halle
the Wolverine.
Berry. He's just Famke. Not Halle Berry.
Famke.
Not Halle Berry.
Famke? Janssen?
Famke Janssen.
Really?
Hell yeah. She's
so you like her as Jean Grey?
Yes, I do. Not in X-Men 3.
Yeah.
Well, 1 and 2. 3.
Even though she went dark in that and everything? No? Yeah, I know. The outfit was terrible.
She
got, like, cataracts. It was really bad.
She looked really old.
Well, they killed Cyclops off without even a thought. They were just like, oh,
I know.
Like,
oh,
I wanted to do Superman.
Yeah. Yeah. That movie went off real well. Yeah, great choice.
So, Wolverine, they have a couple picks out.
Did you see those abs?
Oh, looks so good.
Oh, Wolverine. My gosh.
I love him. I mean, Hugh Jackman can do
whatever
he wants.
He's just
going
to cut people with his abs instead of his claws from now on.
They had bone claws in the picture. That was kind of cool,
right?
No,
no way.
Yeah.
In the future?
Well, the thing they're saying now is that it's part of it set in the future, but it's also partly set in the past. It's going to go back and jump
around.
You know,
probably because he'll visit Japan in his past, but now he's revisiting it, like in the
probably
present.
Probably something jumpy.
And so he's come back and things are changed, and he's like, you know, he's like 100 years old. I read something about how they're going to really embrace the fact that he's pretty much immortal, or he has a much longer lifespan, so a whole generation has passed and he comes back and he's still the same guy, and everything he knew, probably the woman he loved or whatever,
is gone.
Yeah,
it could be awesome, and I'm looking forward to just having maybe a good Wolverine movie as the first one.
I'm tired of Wolverine. We could all use one of those.
I could give a rat's ass about Wolverine.
Really?
I could. Like, he's just everywhere, and I really think he pollutes everything he touches.
I think that's true about Deadpool, but I will say this.
Oh, Deadpool too.
Jason Aaron writes an awesome Wolverine.
But you know why Jason Aaron's Wolverine is really great? Because he relies on other characters.
Absolutely.
As opposed to what other people do, which is totally rely on Wolverine thinking it's going to save a book.
Wolverine Max.
I didn't buy that. All I heard was bad.
Oh, so, I didn't hear it was bad.
Mm-hmm. So, and we talked about...
They've toned him down, and he hasn't been in that much, like, in our faces the way he used to be. I mean, he's still there, and he's in a lot of books.
He's on the covers, but not so much in the books anymore.
He's in Avengers. He's in Uncanny Avengers. He's in Wolverine and the X-Men. I'm sure he'll pop up in the all-new X-Men book at some point. I mean,
he has his own book. Page 4, issue 1. He sniffs and smells Jean, and he's like... Yeah.
Wow. Uh-oh. So I think he gets around, but he's no Deadpool. I'll say that.
But I didn't know.
So what about this Days of Future Past? Evidently, what's his name? Matthew Vaughn, the director?
The director of X-Men First Class is not coming back for the sequel, X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah, so that's very recent.
So the first the first guy on their list is now Bryan Singer. They're wanting to get it and come back to X-Men.
Which he was like executive producer on that movie too. So I'm excited. I think he needs to come back and really kind of restart the legacy of X-Men.
He's really never left. He's always been a producer.
True. But I think the first two movies that he helmed were they are up there.
The best. Yeah, they're some of the best superhero movies, and they came out before, like, superhero movies.
Absolutely.
Those came back in, what, 2000, or 1999 or something?
Something.
Yeah, late 1999. Yeah.
I think it was,
It restarted.
Those were before even, like, Spider-Man.
Yep.
Like, if Justice League can't make it happen, then, and that after he made, you know, he was the pioneer of team superhero movies. So if Justice League can't make it happen, then...
Well, he made
that
real.
That's stupid.
Of real world and not superpower.
Absolutely. No tights, just, you know, the leather.
If Bryan Singer can do it with no precedent for that kind of movie and make it a success, no movies leading up to it like Marvel did, then Warner Brothers should be able to... They have, like, over 10 years of movies to pull from and learn lessons from.
You'd think. But, you know, actually, it's funny. I forgot who they were interviewing. God, who was it? Anyway, they thought that the DC properties are inherently... Oh, it was Mark Millar. He said the DC properties for film are inherently unfilmable. Or rather, the films will never work as well as the Marvel ones because DC is too larger than life and Marvel is a little more realistic.
Right, I listened to that podcast.
And, yeah, I think it was a word balloon thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't agree with him, but I also do see where he's coming.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at Black Widow in the Avengers movie. She's badass.
Yeah.
I picture like Wonder Woman in her thong and thigh-high boots. And
well, that's why I wish the pants, the Wonder Woman pants had stuck, because I thought that was good.
What is it, the war armor that she wears, kind of like the Spartan thing? I like that. That would work.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, I do like that one. It was like the gladiator skirt kind of. Yeah.
They'll probably go there because it does make more sense.
You know,
but
saying that something's in quote unquote larger than life is a cop out for saying we have never been able to make a good movie since like Superman 2.
Yeah.
Like that's Batman excluding.
Okay.
Like, and that's what he kept saying when he was ranting about it. He was like, Batman's these movies are too hokey and goofy and whatever, but not Batman.
Yeah.
No. Like this just that doesn't make sense. If you look at it, there for every DC character, there's a Marvel equivalent and vice versa.
True.
If Marvel can pull it off, so can you. But you just can't just they have thrown everything at the wall hoping that something would stick. And then they go completely against the grain, thinking this is going to make, you know, the movie sing, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
And Marvel's done it too. Hence Wolverine Origins.
Wait, let me do it. Let's go down a list. Who is Wolverine's DC equivalent?
The comic book Bears guys mentioned this. It's one of the Legionnaires, the Legion guys.
I meant like
Timberwolf.
No, I meant
major
players.
Player. I don't know who major wise, but no, Timberwolf is basically a Wolverine.
Who's clone. Thor's equivalent?
Superman.
I think I can go with that. Well, who's Captain America's equivalent?
Superman.
they all map to Superman.
Thor would be Wonder Woman.
Aquaman, Namor.
Yeah, I guess I can see what you're saying.
Captain America would be Superman, the boy.
Who's Green Lantern?
What about Uncle Sam?
Did you know that they made, what was it called? It had like Spectrum and Hyperion.
Yeah.
What was that team called?
Squadron Supreme.
Yeah.
Squadron Supreme. That was like
the JLA.
That was
ripoff.
A mirror.
Yes, it was.
That was like an on purpose.
And Hickman
like,
is bringing Hyperion from that back for the new Avengers storyline, which is going to be
but
really
I
interesting.
Like Straczynski's take on that.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was the ultimate. Awesome. Was that? Yeah.
Didn't we learn our lesson not to have a Sentry type Superman character on the Avengers?
Listen, it's Hickman.
You're
right. Are you questioning Hickman?
I guess
we're going to get to the Hickman praise session here in a little bit. But anyway, let's move on. The Iron Man 3 trailer came out. I saw it today, and I have mixed feelings about it because I like Extremis, and I like the Mandarin as a character, and I like love what Fraction's been doing with him. But I just seeing the trailer, I'm not sure it's the Iron Man that has worked. The tone of the trailer, which I'm sure won't be necessarily the tone of the movie, is a lot darker and a lot less fun. And I think what made Iron Man work and what made Avengers work is that they're fun. They're not too dark. So I'm kind of curious to see now that they're taking a darker turn, at least, again, based on the trailer, is that going to work for this? You know? Do you guys agree?
I feel exactly the same way. I didn't really enjoy the tone. But again, they're just trying to they're really trying to draw people in.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight Rises was very successful and had that exact same tone. Mm-hmm. So, but you can tell,
so you don't know what the tone
the
is
second he sees
up.
Mandarin, Brett White said this on Twitter, the second he sees Mandarin, you know he's going to go all over him with his quips and stuff. And that hair, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. And that voice, in the grand tradition of modern day superhero movie villains, he's got a funny voice. He sounds like a speak and spell to me.
It's odd.
Like, I'll get you. And he's like there are heroes.
Can we do the
there
Bane voice?
No such thing.
Can we do the Bane voice?
What, we mean this voice. I lost my voice. I got sick. I can't do
aww.
It.
But no, if you haven't seen the Iron Man 3 trailer, go out and check it out.
First lesson, heroes, there's no such thing.
It's weird because the Mandarin is not to me, it's a bad Asian stereotype, you know? It's a
no.
Bad, and I know they're not doing that.
No, listen. Why are you saying it's an Asian stereotype?
The Mandarin as a comic character is. That's how he started.
Why? What about it?
He's called the Mandarin.
Well, do you know what Mandarin means? It's not like Mandarin of someone who speaks like Mandarin.
Okay.
You know, like, it doesn't mean the Chinaman.
Okay.
It's like an old sort of feudal term for like
Chinese food?
for a general,
as Asian studies enthusiast, you know, we should be chiming in about this, but you know, let's
there's something that can be said for connotation and denotation, but I mean that the way the Mandarin has always been used, it has been kind of a scapegoat. It has been, taken as such, ooh, Asia bad, or like fascism bad.
Which is hilarious because China, the nation of China, they are financing part of this movie. Which is hilarious to me that the villain is a Mandarin, but the way it's depicted by Ben Kingsley is not an Asian stereotype. Yeah. He's this other thing.
He's got anything
he needs to be to make that money.
Yeah, that money. No, yeah. Well, Ben Kingsley himself is British-born, half white, half Indian.
No,
he played Gandhi.
That's right. He did. That. That's right.
And it was sort of like Chow Yun-fat and. Ken Watanabe not available. They have scheduling conflicts.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
Really great.
Ken Watanabe's not Chinese, though.
Oh, he's Japanese.
What is... Oh, yeah, see, yeah. My bad. There you go. At least he's Asian.
And the rings aren't from aliens. We know that now,
They
too.
Show the 10 rings. They look pretty show them. Cool. But they're not... Is there something he wears? Like jewelry? It's not... I don't know. Don't do anything?
The bling.
Check it out. Well, it looks interesting. I mean, obviously, we're all going to see Iron Man 3 when it comes out. But... let's move on to some movies we've actually seen. The Q saw Hotel Transylvania, which is the new Genndy Tartakovsky. I never say his
Genndy
name.
Genndy Tartakovsky.
Thank you. Was it up to the usual standard that he has for his stuff?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, but yes. Okay. I'll say the whole movie was actually really good and very him, and it had like his sense of humor and like lots of like visual stuff and very like quick. Everything like his... stuff that he works on, like any episode of Samurai Jack, always feels very dense.
Yes.
So much happens, like from the beginning to end, feels like a complete story, even though it was 20 minutes. This movie was really good, but the end was one of those stereotypical endings where like everybody
Hollywood
like,
ending
super duper happy, and they all say the right things, and it's like really drawn out, kind of like what was it, Wedding Crashers, which had like. Anyone see that? No?
No. Yes, Wedding Crashers, yes.
The ending was, like, the whole movie was, like, really funny and good, but the ending was just like, oh, God. Please, just stop. So I really enjoyed, the movie, and they had, like, some funny, great voice cast. Fran Drescher was, like, Frankenstein's wife, and...
I don't like her.
Steve Buscemi. Oh, I love her, the nanny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And Niles, and...
Niles,
no, I'm just saying, like, I love all that. But no, I really liked it. I would recommend you go see it. It broke so many records. The biggest opening gross ever in September. Can you believe that?
Oh. He's talking a lot now to the press, and he's saying he actually might finish Samurai Jack.
Yes, I cannot wait. He's working for Sony now. His series Symbionic Titan, which I love. I've only watched half of it, but it's amazing.
There's a nerdy show, Microsoft, out there. If you go back and look in the feed, you'll find it. It was such a great show.
It was an absolutely amazing show. And he got very disheartened when Cartoon Network decided not to renew it.
They couldn't make a lot of toys, which is actually an interesting thing we'll talk about later.
Yes, yes. And so he left Cartoon Network. And he moved on to Sony, and Sony gave him this movie, Hotel Transylvania, which I think 6 other directors had a hand in at one point, and he gave it to him. He made it work. He broke all these records. He's a great success. So now they're giving him Popeye, which they want to redo into a animated movie, and he's going to do it from the ground up. It's not being handed off to him.
That's
so I'm hoping
cool.
This one will be better. And then after that, they said you can do whatever you want. So hopefully, Samurai Jack.
Will that leave room for the Dark Crystal sequel?
Yes, he was attached to that at one point, but I think he's moved on from it, but that's still going forward. I saw production art. I mean, they're still working on it, so. Now, I did see The Master. Did anyone else see this movie?
Nope.
This is the movie. It's not what you think.
Oh, damn.
I saw your look, Eric. You got all excited there.
I got excited. I was like, really?
The Master is about the... Basically, the origin of Scientology, but it's not Scientology. Paul Thomas Anderson, this is one of the guys, he did Boogie Nights, and then he did There Will Be Blood, which is another interesting film. This movie has this interesting sort of interplay between Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, which is basically L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology, and Joaquin Phoenix, who plays like this fucked up, drunk all the time, sex addict, like oddly shaped and oddly it's crazy. Maybe in your crazier days. Maybe in the 90s. No, Joaquin Phoenix delivers an Oscar-worthy performance. He is transformed in a way that I have never seen since maybe like a Russell Crowe or even further back.
You since know, the time he went crazy on David Letterman?
Well, right. And that's actually kind of what I was thinking. He is such a... And in fact, they had an NPR interview on Fresh Air about with Paul Thomas Anderson, and he said that Joaquin would come to the set as this character, would not break character for the whole time, and then finally when the production was done, actually just like... He's like slumped over and his hands are on his hips and he's just... It's so... It was such a compelling performance that it carries at least part of the movie. Plus, then you get to see some of the inner workings of Scientology, and they kind of show auditing, although they call it something else, and they show some of these kind of crazier ideas of the Hubbard stuff with Dianetics. But it's a fiction, and you know, seeing Hoffman's performance as this larger than life kind of guru. And then Joaquin Phoenix is this really fucked up guy who's lost and attaches himself. It was compelling. The movie, though, was terrible because the story is so... You're so uncomfortable by both characters, even in the most intense of their moments, that I just sat there and thought, why couldn't you have made the story more interesting and like carried it through and hit beats that at least felt like... You know, moments of, I don't know, accomplished. I mean, like the whole story idea, you know, the three act structure, and all of that was thrown out the window.
You know, this entire time, I've been reminded of a Mad TV sketch where they made fun of Battlefield Earth, and it was, the music was done by Randy Newman.
Oh, God. Randy Newman.
Everyone might in my think, head, I'm like, hi ho, the cherry. I'm sorry, Brian. No, but
I just want to make a point out. Who wrote Battlefield Earth?
Owen Hubbard.
There. Yeah. So no. I just want the listeners to know that I wasn't just pulling something out of my ass.
Well, I was just there is a neuron that connected it, but you know. Yeah. No, but if you have a chance, just for the performances, go see it. And if you're interested in Scientology,
you just told us it was terrible.
No,
moving on.
The
Let
movie
me go run out and spend $10.
The plotting, the story, that's terrible. But the performances No. The performances, like If you are a person interested in how character acting happens, it is a tour de force. I mean, really.
These guys are so botched. They focus solely on story. They don't carry out any other elements that can, you know, make up a great visual or...
Exactly. Visually,
the movie.
Visually, it's stunning. Musically, it's stunning. But just, again, the fault is... And Anderson wrote the script. And I think it's kind of a Lucas thing. If he had had somebody else come in and maybe do a little bit more, yeah, it would have been a more successful film. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Let's move on to Dark Knight Returns. This is the latest DC animated title.
That was great.
This is the adaptation of the Frank Miller, of course, work. Now, this is only part one. There's going to be a part two. This is the first time they've done this, too. Usually they condense it down to one hour-long movie.
Like, I was annoyed the fact that there was going to be two parts. I'm like, why? But then after I saw it, I was like, oh,
yeah,
my God.
They had time.
Did the Hunger Games, Harry Potter, Twilight thing to it.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. So if you haven't read the Frank Miller thing, don't worry. You don't have to. In fact, I went back and read the Frank Miller work afterwards, and I forgot how many talking heads and just little panels of faces were in the original.
It's dense.
It's very dense.
Well, I like the way they made the whole news thing, because I didn't know how that was going to transfer over to animation. It was
perfect.
Awesome.
And really?
I heard that was... I actually didn't see it, but I heard that was a down point of the movie. They tried to translate that and it didn't work. But you're saying you guys liked it?
Oh, no, it works. It works so much better in an animated medium than... And the book, it works in a visual, you know, in more a comic book sort of medium. But the story's there. All the major beats there. The dialogue's there. The characters are the... kind of the way they did the animation, the character style, is a little bit less Frank Miller's art than just a Frank Miller style, and then they took it and they kind of did the traditional sort of
look. Well, the main mutant still had nipples for days.
Oh, my God. Yes. Well, and I'm looking forward to part two, because supposedly, and you may, Q, you may have been in the panel where they talked about this, the Nazis with swastikas, the woman in part two, she's got like, she's like, well, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, they're not ruling out that's going to actually, they're going to show it, which is just, you know, crazy, obviously, because it's just...
Well, I want to see the battle between Superman and Batman.
Well, and that, of course, you know. Now, the only thing I would say, and I talked about this on Comic Book Bears, the voice acting with Peter Weller as Batman, I think they could have probably found a better voice actor. He's just a little too dispassionate. And to me, that is Bruce Wayne slash Batman at his most beaten down and just detached or whatever. But he should amp up to, you know, the Batman of old. And even by the end, when he challenges the mutant leader and actually kicks his ass, it still felt like he was kind of like, eh, whatever. So that was my biggest complaint.
Well,
it
worked
about
when in the beginning when he was with Commissioner. It did. He was just like, yeah, whatever. You know? But then when he was supposed to become Batman again, it should have been a little bit stronger.
Now, I also was glad, if you guys remember the comic book, there is a panel with Batman, and he's, like, wearing next to nothing, and the new Robin is, like, jumping up on him, and is, you can see her underwear and all this. It's very creepy, very sort of child molesting. Anyway, they don't do that panel at all. Thank God in this adaptation.
Well, you know, it's a Frank Miller world. You're either a prostitute or a child molester.
Yeah. Oh, God, Batman's so the best. Now, what I will say, and they only show a very brief part of this, is the new voice of the Joker, the guy who plays Ben Linus.
Do we really hear?
Ooh.
At the very end, he wakes up and he goes, I forgot what he says, but you can tell he's the Joker. I mean, he showed him right. the Joker. But Ben Linus, and what's his name? I can't think of his. I could totally talk about this the other day. That voice actor, that actor, perfect Joker voice. Perfect. He has that great. Well, Ben Linus is a pretty fucked up character, and seeing him as the Joker, it's creepy as hell and it's awesome.
No, yeah, I want to see that now. That's so cool.
It was very good.
Good adaptation.
I'm waiting for part two to come out so I could just watch it in one fell swoop.
I don't blame you. Yeah, that'll probably be very exciting. All right, TV news. There is some big news with the Marvel Universe coming to ABC in the form of a TV
Alias.
Show. Yeah, basically. Basically. If it's
AKA
as good as Alias.
Jessica Jones.
Oh, moment of silence.
Oh,
that would have been.
Did
that get canceled?
Yeah, it didn't. It didn't get canceled, just didn't make it to the show. So, Joss Whedon somehow, not show running, I don't think, but he is executive producing or whatever, a S.H.I.E.L.D. show. And we now know, again, this is very recent, not only, spoiler, will Agent Coulson be back somehow, but Ming-Na, the voice of Mulan herself from Stargate Universe, which is still one of my favorite sci-fi
shows.
Don't
forget she was in Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within.
And ER also.
Joy Luck Club.
She is going to be one of the agents, and it sounds like she's almost like a Miss / Captain Marvel sort of character. So I'm
like a Carol Danvers,
kind of like a pilot, you know, whatever.
I mean, I could see her
anyway.
I could see her as
so
Carol Danvers.
Well, you know, the mystery over this series is still as mysterious as the dark side of the moon. So we don't really know how Coulson's going to come back.
Yeah, he might be a life model decoy.
How far do you think you had to reach for that joke, Q? Because
yeah,
I don't think you made it.
I pulled that at your ass.
Oh, listen.
Have you gotten that desperate that you're barking up this trick?
Is desperate.
I have the elbow grease out, but let's not be fisting each other. So I want to know, when is this coming out? Is this coming out like next fall? I mean, it seems like it's got to be somewhat of a ways away. But I'm very excited about this because obviously it's going to bridge the gap to the next Avengers movie, and they're building this Marvel universe in front of our eyes on TV and movies. That's amazing. Anyway, who has seen?
I've watched it.
Okay, it's under the news section, and I don't think it's news unless it got canceled. Did 666 Park Avenue get canceled yet?
Oh, I just saw TV. I didn't even see news.
Well, because let me just say, I feel like that show is not long for this world. Am I wrong?
Well, it's I don't know. I'm scared. I watch it. Every night I watch it, I have nightmares.
Really?
It scares the shit out of me.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Honey, I'm sorry. I'm so scared.
So you're telling me this is scarier than American Horror Story?
I haven't seen the new ones.
Oh.
So I don't know. I don't know.
We're going to talk about that in a second. We'll try not to spoil it too much. But why is it so? Why is it scary?
It's just the whole creepy, demonic, and it's very what's the devil's advocate?
Okay,
kind of thing. It's like the demon. He owns this.
So the demon is Terry O'Quinn, the guy from Lost.
Right.
And
Vanessa
Locke.
Williams. I don't know what exactly she is yet.
She's just evil.
She's a bitch.
She's a bitch in the other show.
Desperate Housewives.
Well, that right. And then she was in that other
Ugly
show.
Betty.
Ugly Betty. Thank you. She's a bitch in everything.
You know who met Vanessa Williams? Yeah. We need to talk about this because I love me some Vanessa Williams. I think her first two albums were fantastic. I think she was robbed when they took her crown away. But our boss, who went up to New York Comic Con, got to hobnob with Vanessa Williams. How'd that happen?
No picture, no nothing.
Wait,
nothing.
Who's Vanessa Williams?
I'm gonna go.
I didn't know.
I love that we gave that at least like 2 seconds of silence.
I heard a pin drop.
Yes. So we're just gonna move on. Okay. How did he do that?
I'm gonna Google this.
At one of the panels, they were doing.
Oh, they had a panel for it.
There.
Okay.
And she was there, and what's the guy from Lost? I can't think of his name.
Terry O'Quinn.
Yeah. He was there, so he met him, and she was right next to him.
Terry O'Quinn. Oh, I love him.
Well,
so,
Q, let me help you out here. Have you ever heard the song Save the Best for Last?
No.
He's going to sing it. Oh, God.
Oh, wait, maybe if you sing it, I'll recognize it. Somebody. Brian's doing it.
I'm not doing it.
Oh, okay.
I started to, but I
She
pulled
did
back.
The song for the movie Pocahontas.
Oh, I didn't
All
know
the
that.
Colors of the Colors of the Wind. I love that song. Okay.
Anyway, she's a singer.
She's a singer
turned actress, and
she was
a good
Miss
bitch. She's a good bitch. Oh, that's
then
right.
She
oh, she was in Eraser. Okay. Okay. Yeah. And Hannah Montana the movie. Such
wow. No wonder you've never heard of her. All right. So
you know, for someone who didn't know,
Shaft.
For someone who doesn't tell their name on a podcast, you got some nerve saying somebody has an illustrious career. You back the hell up off Miss Vanessa Williams.
Wow.
I love Vanessa Williams.
That means nothing.
So beautiful.
That means people use pen names all the time.
So walking
Stage
dead.
Names.
Important people.
Stage names.
So I must admit.
Anybody watching it?
No, because I'm not even caught up to second season.
It
so
is.
Embarrassing.
So intense. Anybody watching this?
I'm
all I know
is Carl.
Carl supposedly is a badass.
Carl
now.
Is a badass. There is no hold bar. They just, they went in, they took over the prison, and it.
Has the governor showed up yet?
No, next episode.
Because
next episode,
I will
Michonne
say,
and Andrea meet the governor.
Is it not Paul Morrissey? David Morrissey.
Yeah.
The next doctor from our Doctor Who, you know, he is amazing, and I love him. So I'm very excited. To see him,
I want to
see. Has he been slated for the next Doctor?
No, he was the next Doctor in that Christmas special. Remember?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry,
the TARDIS, the Sierra balloon, of course, yes. So, I'm very excited. I need to catch up, and they're short seasons, so I should.
Well,
so,
no, last season was a full one. This one's a complete full season. I think it's 16.
Oh, wow.
16. 13 was the last one.
I'm just glad after losing Darabont, this show is like continuing full speed ahead, and Kirkman's really big involved in it, which is awesome, and it sounds like it's just doing great. So I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I think the season premiere was like the highest rated season.
That's
premiere.
So awesome. I mean, and what's amazing to me is that not only is this a great story of a comic book that became a TV show, but the comic book is benefiting so much from the TV show.
Oh my God, it flies off the friggin' shelf.
Which
now.
That never happens with these movies. Like the Avengers didn't get a huge bump at all.
Do you know what it's like to receive multiple shipments a week and just have barrels full? Of Walking Dead. I feel like I'm just like on this locomotive and it's going powered by like burning Walking Dead graphic novels. I just kind of like shovel them in.
It's true. It's so true.
Well, it's fantastic, really. And I'm Kirkman has got to be just like, you know,
well, now he's
Thief
of Thieves, I think, right? That's supposed to be the next thing on AMC.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone like that comic?
I read the first story arc. I liked it. It was kind of very entrapment.
I read the first issue and I was like, eh.
Yeah, it's good. All right. So let's talk Doctor. Oh, wait, what?
I just wanted to let you know that Ben Linus, the actor is Michael Emerson.
Thank you, Michael Emerson. That helps.
Proceed with the who of Doctor.
Well, let's do that first. All right, Oral, you and I. This is us because Pat's not here. He's our other Doctor Who fan.
I miss you, Pat.
You want to go have dinner?
Yeah, sure.
Listen. Good drink. The last time we talked about Doctor Who, all we had seen was dinosaurs on a spaceship.
Yep.
Okay. So we have three more episodes to talk about. We're going to do
you
it very
you
quickly.
Put up four fingers just now.
Shut up. We're going to do this very quickly. Third episode was.
I can't remember. You have to remind me.
God damn it.
I'm bad with episode lists.
Fourth episode was the cubes that took over the Earth.
Yes, the slow invasion.
Slow invasion.
Wait a minute. The third one was.
The Western.
Yes, Mercy, a town called Mercy.
And then the last episode was Angels Take Manhattan. Now, let's just say the Western had Farscape fans. Anybody a Farscape fan? Oh, fuck you guys. So Ben Browder played the sheriff of Farscape.
Who was
Farscape.
Crichton?
Crichton from Farscape, and he was the sheriff.
And he was also in Stargate SG-1.
Yeah, he was. Whatever. Amazing because, A, he has just gotten hotter with age.
Yes, he has.
And he just had this great swagger about him. They are grinding while we are talking Doctor Who. I just want to point that out.
See, this is why we're not friends, Q, because you don't like to share things with me. And that's why I hate you. And so did
Listen,
your mother.
Focus. Focus. Yeah. Focus. Okay, so Town Called Mercy, did you like it?
I did.
All right.
I did. I thought it made fun of the genre,
yes,
but it was still true to and respectful of the Western genre.
Did you like when the doctor got really pissed off?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Because it shows that no matter how brilliant he is, his flaw is his pride.
Yes.
And he quickly becomes inhuman.
Yes.
And that's what people don't realize.
Yeah.
They think of him as, you know, oh, he's the doctor. Yes, he's a Time Lord. But Time Lord is just, and I guess in some people's minds, just another word for smart human.
Yeah.
And he's not.
No, he's an alien. The longest invasion slash the, I think, Power of Three. Power, yes, of Three is the name of the episode. This was cool because it was time travel-y, but it had the doctor being a part of Amy and Rory's lives in a way that you never, ever see. Because he keeps coming back and bringing them on adventures and doing all this crazy stuff. It talks about how they would be gone for weeks at a time, or like they'd have like, you know, 7-week adventures and they come back the next day.
Exactly.
Which kind of makes them basically, if you think about it, get older quicker, uh-huh, to the rest of their friends.
And they wanted to emphasize that fact.
And it had Rory's dad,
Arthur
Darvill.
How much you lose traveling with the doctor.
Right.
You gain so much,
yeah,
but you lose the life that you... That grounds you.
Yes. So they had to make a choice at the end. Do you want to keep going with the doctor, or do you want to live your normal life? And Arthur Darvill, Rory's dad, fantastic, Arthur Weasley, said they can't. They have to do this. Of course they're going to do this. Of course they're going to have these adventures. They're not going to sacrifice that. Did you like the way it ended, though? Because the whole stupid little resolution I felt was very forced.
Oh, with the we
the
got
old
to
doctor
live
with the tally and all. No, no, no. The actual alien that was doing everything was bullshit. Alien, that whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was just bullshit. It was quick. All right. One more, and we're done. This is great. Doctor Who fans love this. You guys, be patient.
Everybody fast forward.
Keep. Yes. If you need to skip ahead about 2 minutes and go. The last episode, the Daleks, the Angels Take Manhattan. This was the end of Amy and Rory's run as companions. We all knew it going in. I was expecting to cry my ass off, and I did. But
I didn't.
Oh, I love that. It was a great story. It had River Song. It played with the whole timey-wimey stuff. Amy and Rory had a few moments where you thought, oh, they're done. No, they're not. Oh, they're done. Oh, they're not. And then they're done. Why didn't you like it?
No, I didn't say I didn't like it.
You just didn't cry.
I didn't cry.
You're a heartless bitch.
I'm not a heartless bitch.
I think you're heartless.
I can tell you why. Well, yes, I am a heartless bitch. But this is why I didn't cry during that episode. I really like the Pawns. I truly, truly do.
Mm-hmm.
I like this season a lot. It's not my favorite season of Doctor Who.
It's weird. It's very weird.
It's very weird, but that's one of the reasons why I liked it. The thing about it is, no departure for me, for a companion, will be as sad as Donna Noble.
Really?
Yeah. And
I think Rose is pretty damn sad.
No. Fuck Rose Tyler.
No, do not fuck Rose
Tyler.
No.
Gap tooth bitch.
Listen, you know Pat's gonna kick your ass now.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I feel like nobody lost as much. Since they brought back Doctor Who,
yep,
no companion has lost as much
as Donna.
As Donna.
Well, because she can't remember anything.
She's the only one who's pretty much has died. Part of her died.
But it's
that
the whole
night.
Thing of, do you want to, this is where I make it equivalent to, do you want to die with your mental faculties intact?
No, that's what it is.
Do you want to die not realizing that you're dying and you're having just total memory loss?
That's one of the reasons why I don't like zombies. I really like how we're getting super deep here, like a Dr. Phil episode. But just so you know, if I ever get Alzheimer's, somebody better slip some cyanide in my wine or pull the plug.
Done.
I can't.
All right.
Thank you.
So noted.
It
is very sad. You're absolutely right.
But
absolutely
right. It just didn't do anything.
What's so funny about the companions is no matter who gets left where, they all get happy endings. Rose gets her own doctor clone.
Happy endings?
Not like that.
Martha ends up with Mickey, not Rory, but Mickey. Donna gets married, and whatever.
She wins a lot of money.
Yeah, gets all that money.
But I would
and
say,
Amy and Rory, spoilers, they actually get to have their own lives and they adopt.
No, yes, I understand
that.
Which
is cool.
But you know what? This is for another, we need to do another 101 with Doctor Who when it comes back.
We will when it comes back.
Okay, so, yeah. Okay, so, but I will say, Out of all of them, Donna got the shortest end of the stick.
All right. All right. Well, anyway, Doctor Who will return to Christmas special. We will move on now.
Yay.
Welcome back, everybody else. Did anybody else see Arrow?
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see last night's.
Well, no. Let's talk about the first one. So, yeah. Okay. I think I saw the first two. Are we happy compared to Smallville?
Yes.
I think so, too.
I think it's nice. It's darker.
It's darker.
It kills everybody. Nobody survives the Arrow.
It's kind of so shocking, actually, because Green Arrow in the comics... Less killer.
It's really Red Arrow in the comics.
Yeah. Well, he's not snorting crack off a cat yet, though. But, No. See, that's where it gets crazy. Now, what I do like is Dinah Lance, who I didn't realize until the end of the episode, where they're like, Dinah Lance. I mean, she goes by like her middle name
scream.
Or something.
Scream.
Yeah.
Yes, Scream.
Yeah.
When the ratings go down, you know that Sonic Scream's coming out, people.
And really, most importantly, and this ties back to Doctor Who, guess who will be showing up in the near future?
Who?
John Barrowman.
Who the hell is that?
Oh my
Captain
God.
Captain Jack Harkness.
Captain Jack from Torchwood and Doctor Who. You've seen pictures of this man.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah. What is he going to be?
They haven't said. He's okay. Some mysterious figure, but this is his first, Desperate Housewives is his first big American TV show. This will be a second, and I'm thrilled. I'm so excited.
Oh, like a reoccurring, they said?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Now, Deathstroke is supposed to come
Huntress.
Soon. Huntress. That's exciting.
That I'm excited for.
Merlin is his best friend. Which is kind of weird.
I don't know his history.
Well, it's nothing like the show.
Merlin's just is that are there archer?
He's a
guy?
Bad archer. He's like a bad Green Arrow, basically.
Right? Didn't they have that short in that one movie, and it was Merlin versus Green Arrow at the airport?
Maybe.
Oh yeah,
was that Merlin?
Yeah, that was Merlin.
I've got the
it was him and Black Canary.
I have a Nat Funicello singing Merlin Jones in my head. That just came out of the Disney vault.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
You know, I know you're gay. So, American Horror Story.
Is it because I sucked your dick? Yeah. I never did.
Ooh. Edit that out.
He never did. American Horror Story.
Talk. I want to hear.
Okay. Do you want me to spoil?
Oh, I don't mind. I'm going to watch
it. So, Jared and I saw this. Yes. Now, let me just say, I love the first season. American Horror Story is amazing.
Oh, I love the first
I season. Think that Ryan Murphy is very brave for not trying to make it a continuing story and actually just taking the same actors and doing a new thing. And it is totally different, but yet completely the same. There's fucked up sex. There's disturbing, like, creepy imagery. There's, like, these gay overtones and subject matters. Like, they play out a whole story in this new first episode about a couple that is about to be outed. One of them's a teacher, and the whole
a journalist.
Yeah, the other one's a journalist.
American Horror Story.
Yeah, and like the whole sort of the gay rights. It's funny because Murphy's themes are there.
Is it everybody from? Or there's some new people now.
There are new people.
Okay,
Is this a period piece?
60s.
Okay.
Principally, there is a story that takes place in current day, and that's where the guy from Maroon 5 comes in. Adam Levine.
Oh,
and his girlfriend.
I want to see him.
But Jessica Lange, let me just say.
I love her.
That's a bitch right there.
She is a bitch, but she's a totally different character than she was last season. Totally different accent. Very kind of complex now because she's not just a bitch. She actually has a side of her that is in love with this Monsignor. Yeah, who's played by Joe Fiennes.
She's a nun. Yes.
A nun with a cabinet full of giant rulers.
They're not rulers, though. They're like these beat sticks.
Well, yeah, they're rulers attached to leather. I mean, this is like a bondage person's like fantasy. Like a Catholic bondage person.
Nuns were up to.
No, it's fucked
end
up.
Over kid.
Okay, so we've already talked about bondage nuns. We've already talked about lesbians. We also
have science,
not Nazi science. We have alien abduction. Yeah, that
mass
factors
murder.
In.
Mass murder. No, not mass
murder.
Well,
only just... two episodes. Oh, my God.
Well, no, I've only seen the first one. By this time, I know the second one has come out. I have not seen the second one.
I already did. I'm going to watch it.
You have?
No, I've not.
Okay, it's like the show is crazy, and it's awesome, and I love this fucked upness, and it's all set in an asylum, which, of course, already has its own connotations and fucked upness. I mean, I'm just so happy this show exists because it is truly a horror anthology series. Which they used to do, although I guess it's a season as an anthology. But anyway, fantastic
awesome.
So far.
I can't wait.
Oh, so good.
So excited to watch it.
The opening is actually kind of funny, too. They use the same music, but it's a totally different like set of imagery. So anyway, Moving on, let's talk about some animation. And honestly, I think the only one of us who has seen any of this is our youngest member. The Q.
Oh, me?
No, I thought
you guys watched this. I used to.
I watched Green Lantern Young Justice.
I used to, but I haven't seen it since it, I got rid of cable.
Well, let's do this. Let's do some editing right now, shall we? Star Wars The Clone Wars. Who's watched it besides the question? Nobody. Moving on.
No. DC Nation. I want to know if it's good. Is it good with Darth Maul?
It's actually really good. I tried to watch it when the first started, like season one.
Yeah.
No good. I would see some things here and there that I wanted to watch, and I watched it, and it was just sort of subpar, but they really hit their stride. They've learned, like, their lessons. The show looks a lot better. I used to have a problem with how it looked and very, like, very static and cartoony and very stiff, but they've really, like, loosened up a bit, and, like, the backgrounds and the settings and the special effects are... They look like they're movie grade now.
Would a Star Wars fan really enjoy this?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I
thought. Darth Maul...
Go on for...
Apparently 80 years. No, I don't know, but I love Darth Maul. At the end of season 4 is when his brother, this guy named Savage Opress, who's yellow and black... yellow and brown tattoos instead of black and red, he goes and finds Darth Maul, and he's, like, gone crazy. His horns are, like, a foot off his head. He's got this crazy spider body because, you know, his legs got chopped off, and he has more than just
his legs, like his
junk is probably gone. But yeah, he takes Darth Maul back to these, like, force witches. I don't know their name, but they, like, take the madness out of him. They reform his legs into, like, proper kind of, like, goat legs, so he can functionality, you know. Yeah, kind of like raptor legs, you know what I'm talking about?
What? That's crazy.
And they shrink his horns down. He's got his sanity back. And then they hatch a plot to get back at Kenobi.
What?
Oh. And it doesn't work out. And that leads into season 5. Like, we have to go bigger. And so the teaser trailer just for the whole season looks amazing. The first episode was, I think it was the first 2 episodes. It was off the hook. It was
Darth
really
Sidious,
good.
I think, shows up, right?
He does. In the trailer, it's like, because, you know, the code of the Sith is...
There's only 2.
It can only be 2.
Yeah.
And he shows up. He goes, look, guys, there's already 2, so I'm going to take you guys on. So...
That's cool. Now, I'm interested. I do want
to
see this someday.
Yeah, the Emperor defend the code of the Sith for one, like, do something, like, active is pretty sweet. And I love Darth Maul. He's, like, the only good thing from the prequels, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. Or he's the coolest thing from the prequels. There are other good things about them. But, anyways, I would say watch that if you like it. Yeah.
Now, what I want to know, why did DC Nation get pulled? What's the theory?
For those that don't know, of, like, the day that Young Justice was going to be aired, they, like, yanked it off the network and played How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh,
like, they didn't...
So
there
mad.
Was... They had just come back on air, I think, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
And
they had all this promotion, say, hey, we're back, blah, blah, blah. And they just pulled it. And there's someone on Bleeding Cool, like, compiled all these different reasons from people he had talked to, of anonymous sources. And it was the usual thing of, like, there's not enough toys that are being moved with these shows. One was that Cartoon Network is having its 20th anniversary next year, and they want to save it for that, to, like a big
thing.
But
you'd think that,
and,
like, the people who made the show from DC would know.
Dan Dildo pulled it because Stephanie Brown was making an appearance. Not that I like her.
Stephanie Brown was in the episode.
Why does he have such a hard-on against her?
No,
I don't blame him. I hate her, but...
I don't hate her.
That's nothing to do with... That was a rumor started by a fanboy named Eric. And
Aaron.
That had nothing to do with it. And then there was another reason of it. They were falling behind on, like, the shorts and some of the episodes, so they wanted to wait until they could launch it all at the same time in a complete package like they originally intended. You know, it's a bunch of random stuff. There could be just some legal issues. You know, maybe it's going to be canceled. Who knows?
Yeah.
But bottom line is, well, actually, both episodes that were pulled made it online because they were on iTunes that day, but they didn't pull them down from iTunes before people could have access to them.
Right.
So they made it out. I saw both of them.
Yeah.
The Young Justice ends sort of like the arc that they were on, and it was so good.
Yeah.
You find out that, do you guys mind if I... Spoiler cast.
Well, I'm going to have to wait till January. I'll
spoiler cast. You can watch it online. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. But the... They're kidnapping all these, like, metahumans and potential metahumans, like Stephanie Brown, and they had the guy who looked just like Static Shock, and they're bringing him to this, like, lab, and you find out that it's the Reach. Do you know who the Reach is? Nope. Like the blue villain, the Blue Beetle villain.
Oh.
And then wow. There was this Black Beetle, and he was like twice the size of Blue Beetle and had this crazy voice and was super evil and really powerful.
They have the Black Beetle. Wow.
Wait a minute.
Black Beetle.
Oh, I saw this. I watched this today.
You
that
saw
was,
it?
That didn't air. That didn't air. Oops.
No, oops. Yeah. It was. You saw it?
No.
Did you like it?
No, that episode was amazing.
It was off the hook. And they all the heroes were trying to take down the Black Beetle and they couldn't do it.
Wow.
And you find out that, what's his face? Blue Beetle, the whole reason, he's like very important to the plot. Wally West, remember, or Kid Flash?
Yeah, Kid Flash.
No, not Wally West.
Impulse.
Impulse. Who's Impulse?
Bart.
Bart
Allen.
Bart came back in time to stop Blue Beetle from becoming like this monster Blue Beetle, just like the Black Beetle. He was going to become the biggest, baddest villain and kill all the heroes and destroy the world. Uh-huh. So he came back in time to stop him.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was like reveal. And also, with Aqualad.
Did he ever go good? Is he still bad?
Does it tell what happened with Tula?
Well, I'll take it from here.
Go ahead.
So this is what ended up happening. You know how... Miss Martian has been literally destroying minds left and right.
Yeah.
There's a confrontation with Aqualad, who's been a double agent.
Allegedly.
And she rips his mind apart leaves him like catatonic.
Mind wipe, yeah.
And she realizes pretty much the way it works is that there's a mental struggle, and when she breaks through, that's when all of the memories start flashing through. And she finds out that he's been a double agent, but it's already too late because she fucked him.
With her mind.
And Artemis is like left trying to like drag his catatonic body like into the shadows. It's rough.
That's fucked up.
Daddy's not going to be happy.
Mm-mm. Well,
it was a really good episode.
Yeah. It is sad that it got pulled. We now have to wait until January, but.
Yeah, all that momentum is gone. Yeah. Green Lantern, the animated series, I watched as well. It's not the best show in the world, but I still like it.
Do they still have
Dry Garden? Is
the Red Lantern Corps still a factor or no?
Not so far, but I'm having a feeling that they'll come back.
Yeah.
But
where's Sinestro?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. That's really the big question.
They're kind of doing their own thing and making their own stories, which I don't have a problem with, but it would be cool to see Sinestro. We saw Chip.
Chip?
The Squirrel Lantern. He was so funny. He kicks Hal Jordan's ass in the training room. That's so funny.
That is funny.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
But the whole episode was that there's a steam lantern. He goes to the antimatter universe and goes to like a steampunk kind of world.
Right.
And instead of a green lantern, there's a steam lantern. And they team up together to blah, 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 you know, whatever.
That sounds kind of crazy.
It was cute. I really liked it.
Well, I'll have to go watch this.
It's sad that both these shows, more Young Justice, you know, are off the air.
Now, music news real quick. This is very important. The Scissor Sisters, we have just found out, is breaking up. Or taking a very long-term hiatus. And one of the members of the Scissor Sisters, who I actually don't know as well, but it's the girl, one of the girls, Anna Matronic, is actually doing a comic book.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Pat actually found this story right before we started recording, and I just had no idea, because, I mean, Scissor Sisters, very big in the gay community, Let's Have a Kiki, all this other crazy crap, which, by the way, I hate Let's Have a Kiki. I really do. But, yeah. But, and it's just fucking everywhere. But they're breaking up. They just announced this, and it's they all have their own solo projects they're doing.
And first LMFAO, now them? Oh.
I know. Devastating. Not really. So, anyway, but comics. I didn't realize that she was into comics.
What's the comic going to be about?
It didn't say.
Scissoring?
Tits on the radio. No, I don't know. So, that's big music news. Now, Q, you also had a couple things you had seen, including Beauty and the Beast.
The musical.
You saw that when you were in New York?
Around the traveling. No.
That's right.
I saw it with Toni Braxton as Belle.
Ooh. That would have been good. That would have been really
good.
You just stop.
He's trolling.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was fun.
I thought it was okay. It was like a very bloated version of the movie. It was like a straight adaption of the movie. And they added in all these extra songs that really slowed it down.
Yeah.
I was like, eh.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay. Now, if you really like it, you can go.
What is this Two-Door Cinema Club?
Two-Door Cinema Club is a up-and-coming...
bathhouse?
European...
Two-door cinema club.
There's two doors.
And one of them raises very slowly. And anyway, glory hole. Go ahead.
They're a...
No, I'm just doing this. No, you're good.
They're an electronic indie rock band. Okay. And they made it big last year. A song called like What You Want. It's in like all the clubs, indie clubs and whatever, blah blah blah. Doesn't matter. They just came out with their second CD, and the more I listen to it, the more I like it. It's pretty good. Their first CD was like this really cool, like dancey pop rock electronic CD, so I really liked it. This one is more kind of songs, so it's nothing you can dance to. A few songs maybe.
Yeah.
But ultimately it's not as strong as their
Have
first
you
showing.
Listen
but
to
that,
the new
the reason okay. I wanted to bring it up
Please.
Is can you guys tell me a any band who's come out and put out a really good, like, dancey pop CD, whatever, like, alternative rock or whatever, and then followed it up with another good one that's even better? Like, I was thinking, like, Panic at the Disco came out, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. Then they made, like, the worst CD ever to follow
Bananarama?
It up. Bananarama? I don't know what that is.
See, where you disqualified, I think, is the alt-rock. A lot of these alt-rock bands, I think they do that first really big successful thing, and then they just decide either to go full concept album, which is just weird, nobody likes it, or they decide to go
Does
sell
anybody
out
like a concept album.
I love concept albums.
Well, you would. You're in
listen
a
prog rock is my favorite category on song pop, so I'm just saying. So no, I think I know what you're talking about. So they actually did it twice. That's good. That's very
no,
unusual.
I didn't say that.
No, they didn't.
You
no.
totally missed. You weren't listening.
Oh,
forget it.
I totally
fail.
Missed
next,
it.
Next.
I hold the cherry.
Comics.
I fail.
Oh no, gay news.
Gay news. This is gay more news. Important than comics. Well, not really. So
nothing is more important than comics, Brian.
You're right. Well, okay. Yes. So who is this Larry Smith guy, and why do I care?
Ooh. Larry Smith is this bully. I think he's a retailer. This like online bully, and he like back when Miles Morales came out, he made all these like horribly racist remarks and stuff, and
so he's like Aaron
like,
basically
rose up against him
but not
Aaron,
real
but like, not classy
well, no.
Aaron
yeah, okay.
somehow
Jared
I don't know.
How could you laugh about Aaron that way, shame on you,
really
shame.
Jared
well Aaron how, Aaron's
Aaron
fake about it
Aaron keeps it classy somehow
yeah, he's
I don't
fake
know.
About it I know. So this guy's
but,
legit. Like, he's
no,
legitimately
yeah.
a bully.
Yeah, yeah. And then some transgender person named Christian was, like, said something, and he kept calling him, like, a fellow and man and dude and guy and stuff, and it was, like, offending the transgender person. And he was specifically using those signifiers because he was transgender
mm-hmm.
and was, like, I guess picking on him, and the guy took, or Christian took, like deep offense to it, and then all these people noticed this and like rose up against it and were like like you know trying to defend him, and it became this huge thing. It showed up on my you know Twitter stories you ought to read.
Oh, did it?
Well, Bleeding it was
Cool,
so big.
Bleeding Cool did an article an interview with Christian, and I guess he works for a comics publisher, and he is a one of the few but out transgendered comics creators, and had some really interesting things to say, but I didn't realize that it had originated by this guy kind of
yeah
okay.
yeah
well if you are interested in transgender rights, we are a woefully inadequate source for those kind of things. We are trying. We need to get when we did that one episode, the gender roles,
yes,
we need to get her back on. Like, we need to try to
oh,
get
that,
her on.
That bitch is not talking to me since.
Oh, well.
Effer. Well, Effer. Effer. Now, if you are listening and you are transgender and you want to contribute in any way to Flame On, please let us know. Brian@flameonshow.com or any of us. We would love to actually get more of the transgender community out there. This is not transgender at all, but we did just have a very fantastic episode with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence here in Orlando.
That's not transgender at all. That was a
I know it's not.
Segue.
I know. Listen, it deals with gender roles.
You know
it deals with gender roles.
Let me,
help
you out here.
Gender roles.
Listeners, if you know someone who's transgendered, remember they're in the struggle right along with us. They are brothers and sisters, or sisters and brothers in arms.
Just use the word trans because it covers all those other trans words.
Yeah, there's
like
transvestite and transsexual. Yeah. There's a difference.
I know the difference.
Same thing.
There's executive transvestite, which is what Ed Izzard is, and there's anyway, no.
One is like you have the parts, and then one is you dress, but you're,
yeah,
you know, it's different.
Well, I just want to say the Sisters were fantastic.
Yes.
This episode will be out very soon, and it is really, really quite entertaining and very informative. So if you are interested in the Sisters, please check it out. It'll be in the feed, probably following this one. Now, finally, gay news. Bear Bust 2012 was back at the Parliament House, and we were there representing. And Jared and Pat, our bearskin rug, and even Oral made
Yay.
An appearance and worked the booth.
Yes, Oral worked.
We had so much fun. Jared, talk a little bit about your day.
Just boys.
Some of the exciting things while I pull up this...
porn stars?
Yeah, yes, maybe.
Porn stars were there. Porn stars were making out in front of the Flame On booth with erections, and it was fun.
What was the... Fun. Charlie Harding, is that his name?
I believe so, yeah.
Charlie Harding is a Falcon porn star who... I watched one of his videos the other day, and it was spectacular. And he has... tattooed all over him Battlestar Galactica tattoos.
I mean, the plot was bad, but the acting was great.
Seriously, the acting was amazing.
Let me just say. That guy's a huge BSG fan.
He has Caprica tattoos. He has the Tauron mobster sort of tattoos,
awesome.
The Adama stuff. And on the back, he has the Anders and...
all I saw is his bulge. That's all I saw.
Anders and Starbucks, the wings.
Mm-hmm.
He's out of Atlanta, Georgia. He is kind of, I wouldn't say a daddy, because he's sort of probably like, he's probably about what Eric would, you know, about that sort of look. And,
oh, so you remember him in Mesopotamia.
Listen, all I'm saying is they are very attractive men. They are very attractive men who take great care of their bodies at their advanced age. No.
Yes, let's go to the house and take off our shirts, Oral. Come on, and let's see who gets what.
Now, tomorrow, well, there is a gear ball coming up, but no.
Enjoy your marriage while it lasts.
Why tickly?
Oh, my God.
First, tickly?
First, let's get it started.
I got laid. That's all that matters in this world.
Okay. I jiggle and shake in all the right places. I have never heard a complaint, thank you.
So, the bear bust,
but I want to see them fight. No, okay, go for it.
I extended an invitation to
Charlie
to come on the show. So we'll see if that turns out.
There is something that happened on Saturday that I can't talk about yet. But if it gets approved, you will be seeing it very soon.
It's pretty hot.
It's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And basically, Sunday was awesome too. We got to hand out a lot of free comics. A lot of people stopped by the booth and said hi. In many ways, Bear Bus was such a great success that it makes the sting of the failure that was the Bear Expo.
How many times have I told you?
We recorded live there.
Yeah.
Okay, that was awesome. Sunday at Bear Expo.
You know what? I will tell you why, instead of saying, let's just cut that out, why it was important for us to be there.
Yes.
Because I ran into someone who recognized me and our booth.
Wait.
I didn't get a chance to tell you. Who recognized me and our booth, and I did an interview with them.
What?
During Gay Days.
Yep.
And they said we were so much fun and they loved us being there and we were like one of their favorite parts of the of the entire thing. And they said I was fantastic. So
there you go.
Oral was drinking at the bar and he makes up with this whole series.
Yeah.
No.
That ends his drunken hallucination.
Well, I will say this.
He had with a plant.
The main organizer of Bear Bust loved that we were there and next year might do something even more cool with us. So we are definitely in their good graces and we had a great time. So that's all that matters. Let's talk about
comics.
Fine.
I mean, so sleep then.
Well, let's talk about
Pokemon and comics.
I don't quite know. Well, maybe we have younger listeners.
Pokemon like Black 2 came out.
Q went to New York Comic Con.
I went to New York Comic Con. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was packed, according to our notes.
It was packed. No,
I heard
yeah.
It was very busy.
It had like San Diego numbers, like 1,100,000 people. Yeah, it was absolutely crazy. And out front, I'm sure this didn't help the crowd, but they had this Walking Dead setup of all these zombies sort of like lurching around out in front. It was sort of quarantined from the people, but it made to look like it was like a part of the crowd.
That's cool.
So, and there's the old man from the camper was on, they had a camper out there and he was like on top of it with like an umbrella and all the zombies are like lurching around.
The actual guy who plays
I don't know
it?
If it was actually him. I doubt it because he's out in the sun all day.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was like a scene from the episode just taking place out in front. But then again, that's where the line was being let in and it was a huge clusterfuck. As soon as you went in, you could go left to the show floor or right to Artist Alley.
See,
Artist Alley was completely
segregated.
That pisses
me off. I don't like that.
But listen, when people first heard, like on Thursday and early Friday, people were really mad that you had to go down a separate hallway, like make a turn, go down that hallway, and it's in this huge, like,
do you know the last time
hangar.
I did that? Called MaryCon.
Mary Con,
and
yeah.
Bear Bus.
It was in like this huge like hangar. There's no what?
I'm sorry.
Always got to go back to that Mary.
Mary Con.
Listen, thank you for making us have flashbacks.
Listen, I'm just saying that's what it felt like. Did it?
Listen,
not?
But artists, you know what? You know what? Here's hold on. You keep ragging on some of our most formative times of you know of us being together.
Well, look, I mean, that's the first time we were all together.
We had an amazing Gay Days that year. We had an amazing Gay Days last year. I'm just saying, down the hall to the right. Past the bathrooms and this the little thing. That's where Artist Alley was, right?
I mean, it was like that. But and you went in there and there was no carpet. It felt like we were in a giant garage.
Oh,
it,
so
like
you're
a warehouse.
Just making my point. I mean, well, Artist Alley okay, is the coolest thing of any con. That is where people are doing what I think is important.
Yeah, the show floor wouldn't exist without Artist
exactly,
Alley.
Exactly.
Okay. But that said, on Saturday we went in there. There was not enough room to walk around.
Oh.
It wasn't lost, or people found it. They knew exactly where it was. You know, I read an article about the guy who ran New York Comic Con. He said it was a great idea. They're going to do it again next year.
Wow.
You know?
Well, see, Aaron said something like Jim Lee, and I forget who the other artists. They were like right near each
that
other.
That was on the show floor. Jim Lee and Robert Kirkman were signing at the same time, and wow. Their lines like intersected and caused this huge like traffic jam, and yeah. It was terrible.
Yeah, that's always a bad idea.
You could go maybe 20 feet in 20 minutes because it was so packed.
Ugh.
But it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of cool stuff. The big announcement that came out of it was that Scott Snyder and Jim Lee are going to do Which, Man of
Superman.
Steel, Superman. But even though there were rumors of that going into
months
it.
Months so. Before that, yeah.
Yeah, but in all the panels, it was really just rehashing everything that we had already heard. So nothing
Marvel
really
now.
To report there. Yeah. And but although I did cover the Avengers panel and the Green Lantern panel and the X-Men panel for IGN, if you want to go mm-hmm. check those out.
Really? How would they find that?
You know, you just have to go and Google it and hope you find it. Don't know who wrote it. And
IGN.
IGN. That's right.
IGN. Yes, that's who wrote
IGN
everything.
Wrote everything.
On, yeah. What Eric is referring to is that I found all these graphic novels that I had quotes on,
uh-huh.
but they weren't attributed to me.
They
like,
didn't
want to
reveal your secret identity.
They were, yeah, they're in on it. They're in on it. So they helped me out by not naming
uh-huh,
me and
uh-huh.
just saying IGN.
Right.
And
don't forget to look for the Q's initials on the Declaration of Independence. The Dead Sea Scrolls.
IGN.
The Communist Manifesto.
Oh, I hurt from that. All right.
No. I can just claim anything as me because my name's not there. And then there was this giant Pokemon thing. It wasn't in New York Comic Con, but yeah, it was like sort of like a special invitation thing.
Uh-huh.
You went
Nintendo?
In there. It was like Disney World, but Pokemon. And you went in, and there was like a Pikachu, you know, like Mickey Mouse, but dressed up in like the suit and all these other Pokemon who I don't know.
And it wasn't a cosplay.
So you went to a furry convention.
It was like that.
That explains
yeah.
a lot. That explains a lot
and,
about you.
We went, and it was really cool. And you had to go around, and if you tried out the new game Pokemon Black or White 2 that just came out, or if you took a picture with like these Pokemon or something, you got these little tokens, and you could go to the Poke Store and spend them and get like Pokemon T-shirts.
Wait a minute,
and
you took a picture, you got a token?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was like a little setup, like a green screen, and then they put Pokemon in there with you.
It's
was
very difficult.
No, it was.
So what did you get with your tokens?
I got some T-shirts, and I brought them back for my friends and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And they had like exclusive
I guess
DS.
We're not his friends.
They had.
I wasn't gonna say
they had an. I didn't see you pick me up from the airport, so that's the one who got it. And it's cool stuff. And they had like exclusive Pokemon DS case and stuff like that. It was like a really cool event.
Nice.
But yeah, so New York Comic. Do you guys have any questions about it? New York Comic Con or anything?
Honestly, I mean, it's one of those cons that I would want to go to. In fact, next year it's one of my goals, but. Honestly, I think Charlotte and even Baltimore, so much more access to the creators that I don't know that I need to go to San Diego or need to go to these big cons, because the small cons that get like, you know, Heroes and all that, they're so much better and more fun, I think.
No, yeah. It was really hard. Like, I saw, like, Jeff Johns just, like, walk, like, right in front of me, but he was in such a hurry to get somewhere.
Well, I mean,
with
Heroes,
all these people surrounding him, I was like, oh, there's no way I'm going to talk to him, and, you know.
Trip him.
Clothesline him. He's pretty short.
Yeah. Oh, are you okay?
At Heroes.
While you're down there, can you sign this?
No, man, but, like, at Heroes, and, you know, I mean, Q and I were up there. You
can walk up to anybody.
They're all at the bar hanging out, and you're talking, and it's just awesome. Baltimore is kind of like that, too. I mean, that's what I like. I love that. That's really cool.
You know, so. For someone who Well, Eric and I both work at the same comic book store, a comic shop. We love it.
Really?
It's shut up. It's fantastic. But the one thing that we never get to do is we never get to go to conventions.
We never get to do anything.
We never get to do anything. Like, it's just, hey, he's like, Aaron, like, I'm going to Comic Con.
Didn't even really get to go to MegaCon.
Huh?
You didn't even really get to go to MegaCon. Sad.
Nope. Although it's, this doesn't help really, but you kind of been to one, you've been to them all.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah. You say that, but I'd
like
been
to be the one.
Well, because my
if you've been to one and you've been to all of them, how come you went to New York Comic Con?
Why do I keep going? Because there's
New York City.
Occasionally, like, valuable relationships are formed and you have cool experiences. But I'm talking about forget it.
Yes, it sucks. You
I'm talking
go.
About like I guess I'm more referring to the panels and all of like the showroom floor stuff. It's just, you know, but the meeting and interacting with the creators is definitely the highlight. That
So, well, let's talk about some indie books because I want you guys to know about Brandon Graham. He is the creator of books like King City, multiple Warheads, which just was relaunched as an issue based thing. He is the writer and artist.
That's the name of a porn I watched once.
No, it's not. Is it really?
Yeah. Multiple Warheads? You get it? Get the euphemism?
I do.
A little innuendo? Kind of.
A little bit.
Okay.
So, if you have not seen his stuff in those indie kind of books, check out Prophet, the new, but Liefeld rebooted, series from Image. He is so funny and so, like, he loves wordplay. He'll do these little, like, images that are kind of like plays on different words. He has all this detail in every little panel of this vista of alien or whatever crazy thing. He does like almost like the probably one of the most inventive writers I've ever seen. And the art is just like got such a cool.
Is
like,
an artist too?
Yeah, you know, writer and artist. And does this amazing just, I don't know. I can't even describe his style. It's so unique.
It's reminiscent of. Of like Dr. Seuss esque,
yeah,
like the old like 60s
like
movies, yeah. It's very much that very like European inspired.
I was thinking Mobius, I was thinking 2000 AD, I was thinking that kind of stuff, heavy metal, all that.
Exactly.
But you know, he's doing Prophet, and Prophet's fantastic. Oral and I both are enjoying it. Mm-hmm. I think
very much so.
And again, wordplay, like little jokes. He'll cram little jokes in. He's got a little Cthulhu creature that like checks vegetables for their freshness or some crazy shit in this multiple Warheads thing. I mean, it's just funny. There's sexiness. Like he's got some characters doing some stuff in there. It's pretty awesome. I don't know how many drugs are utilized in the production of this art, but it wouldn't shock
or
me.
Or used while making
it. Would not shock me that there was some drug use. It's got a bit of a Scott Pilgrim-y sort of feel in some parts.
A bit. Yeah, I will agree
just,
to that.
You know, if you're interested in like Scott Pilgrim and some weird shit, or you just like fun. I mean, it really is something for comics. It's fairly neat. Check this out.
Okay, everything looks like a penis. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Everything.
I found the multiple Warheads. Yeah.
He does kind of have a bit of a phallic sort of
all these foods.
Yeah, even the foods are the shape of the penises.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
You know, that's probably why I like it so much. All right. So, and another indie book, and this is borderline indie, but you know, it's still indie. Happy by Grant Morrison and Derek Robertson. Did anybody else read it?
I've read it.
Now, it's interesting because Grant Morrison, as we all know, is very kind of high concept, sort of crazy, metafictional, whatever. This book so far, other than the fact that it's like a hitman talking to an imaginary blue horse creature thing, it's kind of dark and lots of F words and just sort of very almost more like not Warren Ellis but Garth Ennis, you know, very just dark. And I've read one reviewer thinks that he's doing like he's trying to like make fun of that genre and kind of like show that this can be transformed into something better. But I don't know because one issue, so who knows?
Right. We'll go anywhere.
But
Grant Morrison was inducted into. He was given an MBE.
Yeah.
Right.
The Prince Charles today, or just actually, yeah, I think today when we're recording it. And of course, Morrison Con just happened, and he was in New York. In fact, Bill Z from Comic Book Bears got to take a picture with him. I was so fucking jealous.
Wow, Brian just hulked out.
Oh my God. No, I mean, I got to meet Frank Quitely, and I got to see him in Baltimore, which was awesome. But I mean, going to see Morrison, I mean, that's like to me would be just anyway.
You know, I will say, I read Happy. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know that I liked it either.
And here's one of the reasons why, because. the story, just like all Grant Morrison stories, doesn't really make sense, doesn't try to make sense. He makes it real by giving the character, the protagonist, eczema. But the problem is...
Eczema?
Yeah. I didn't know who the fuck was who because like everybody looks the same.
Now, that's the artist's fault, though.
No, no. If this is your book, it's a Grant Morrison book or whatever, you have some say. You have some say. You say, okay, this person needs to look like this because this is what I want you to try to convey. And when all of the characters look the same, reflects poorly on the artist.
I understand
reflects poorly on the writer.
But Derek Robertson, who did Transmetropolitan, who did The Boys, I mean, he is an established name. Morrison, I think, obviously, probably wrote a script, sent it off, and is relying on this.
Notice how you tried to say great script and you then
I don't know.
Yourself.
It's been one issue. We don't know. I mean, not all, like Sea Guy. I've just reread Sea Guy. I don't know what the fuck is going on in Sea Guy, really.
Well, anybody reading Fashion Beast?
Fashion Beast is awesome.
Fashion Beast is awesome.
I will say,
I don't understand it.
No,
it's entertaining.
It's a modern day telling of Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
Yes. Which is, huh?
But modern day, no, not modern day. Post-apocalyptic with this fucked up, like, people use radiation as a way to be beautiful. I mean, I'm interested in that story a lot. It's very interesting, especially the Vogue element. I mean, that's kind of very cool.
When did that happen?
What?
In Fashion Beast. When did that?
They use radiation as part of it. You didn't catch that? One of the people comes in, her face is like half melted off, and the character's like, oh, is that radiation? And they say, oh, yeah, I used such and such.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And
yes.
The main character is basically a transsexual or a drag queen, or, you know, it's kind of gender fluid, as our friend Cap would say. So, no, I think these are interesting books, and I love that they exist. But yeah, they're weird, and certainly Happy's had one issue, so we'll see how the story evolves. But let's get into unless there's any other indie books. I think that's really
Lock and Key comes back next month.
Woo! Well, next month I expect to hear about it, and I still need to read it.
I can't even.
It's only the best series out right now.
You say that.
Everybody,
you haven't read it. How do you know?
Oh, I should mention I did read Saga finally.
Oh, did you like it?
I got the trade.
Did you love it?
I liked it. I think it got built up a little too high. I love what I read. I mean, it's good. I knew it would be good, but I think people are getting a little obsessed about it, which, you know, I don't know. I know it'd be good.
I like the story. The story's good, but I love the artist.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Fiona.
Is it Fiona?
Yeah. Fiona Staples.
Yeah, the art's fantastic. I mean, again, Brian K. Vaughan is a great storyteller. I totally get that. And I love the kind of swerve at the end where these people come and attack them in this tree. I also love the fantasy sci-fi stuff. I love that. The robot with their, you know, TV heads. Right out of Fooly Cooly.
Did you like Sextillion,
awesome.
The planet? The lust planet, the vice planet.
Oh my god! I read that on an airplane. I read that on an airplane. It was so awkward. I'm sitting there with my book just like barely open. Like, oh no, there's boobs. Oh, that looks like a penis. I mean, it was dicey.
It was insane.
Yeah. It's hilarious though. It was really funny.
Yeah,
and then very poignant. So he's kind of got the Joss Whedon thing where it's like really super serious, but then funny, and then also very poignant. I mean, he does. Again, Vaughn's awesome. But I don't know. People built it up so much because they just, I guess maybe they hadn't read any Vaughn. I don't know.
Right. We're sort of in the post-Vaughn world if we kind of already know he's a great story and we're expecting a lot and does get hyped up a lot, I agree. Yeah.
But I love the swerve at the end with the, spoiler again, these people attack them and it's the parents-in-law, it's the mother-in-law and the father, you know, that whole thing. The grandparents. That was hilarious. That's a very funny sort of beat.
They killed one of my favorite characters was the girl, the floating ghost girl.
Oh my God,
I don't think she's gone forever.
No, I don't think so either. I think that was much.
They did her in pretty good. Well, I don't know how they were prepared for ghost things anyways in the first place, but whatever.
Yeah. It's an interesting world. Gross. I want to know more about it. It's
her
cool.
Guts hanging out.
But anyway, I read that. So, major studios, or major publishers, let's say. We're going to start with Marvel, because Marvel, of course, with Marvel Now, is getting very exciting, and lots of things are ending. Lots of things are starting up.
Everything's ending.
Yeah, end days, if you will. I do want to talk about the end of End Time. Sorry, I do want to talk about the end of AVX because we have. I think last time we talked, big shit was going down, things were happening, but it's over now.
Yep.
And we now know how
you say Cyclops was right.
Fucking thank you. I didn't know if you'd agree.
He just turned around and Captain America's giving him that lecture. He's like, but I won, right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, you douchebag.
Oh.
I mean, this is the thing. Cyclops was right. you know, this is a T-shirt, I guess, now available. You can get the shirt.
I want that.
And it, yeah, I know. Right? It's like the Daredevil.
Does it have his Hannibal Lecter hat on it, like his helmet?
I hate that. I hate that.
I like it.
But basically, he's a prisoner of war. He's a political prisoner right now because, yeah, he was possessed by the Phoenix Force and he did all these terrible things. But at the end of the day, because of what he did and because of the Phoenix, they're mutants again.
Mm-hmm. No, so, yeah.
And I just thought they would just be born again and start up. I didn't know people who had the mutant gene just boom.
They were just like all of a sudden on the street.
Like, what
boom,
the hell?
And honestly, if they had just let him, if they had just let the Phoenix take Hope to start, who knows that wouldn't have been what happened. She would have done something. She would have, like, you know, had that realization, and they would have saved themselves all this grief. So really, the Avengers are just dicks.
Well,
no, we don't know.
He knew better. He knew better, and Alex said it to him in the Uncanny Avengers, like, you knew better. After what Jean did, how can you even accept this force?
Well,
that was the thing. True. You know, he knew the power he was playing with.
True, but I don't know. Overall, I don't know that AVX was a success in a certain way. I did like moments of it.
Yeah.
But the new continuity or the new reality of the situation, the biggest thing I hate is that Cyclops is a political prisoner, which I don't know what they're going to do. We don't know.
Oh, I do.
You want to know what?
I read it.
He's
today.
On the cover of All New X-Men.
Well, I know he is.
And they show him like walking around in a new costume, or not a new costume, but, you know, back in his little costume. So, well, he's fine.
But no, I know he's fine. But at the same time, I don't want him to be the new Magneto. I don't want him to be the new bad guy.
Well, he's not going to be Magneto because Magneto set out for a certain goal. He completed his goal. He's done.
Well, you're reading AVX Consequences? Like, Magneto's like communicating with him.
Oh, that's who's doing that?
Uh-huh.
Who else would
I totally missed that. I didn't know who was doing that. Okay.
With the metal?
Yeah.
I totally just over my head. I did like the end of Uncanny, though, where they tie in the Sinister stuff, and that was awesome.
No,
The
Sinister stuff didn't really do it for me, because Sinister is kind of like, whatever, I don't care.
I love Sinister.
What I love is the magic Colossus story.
That's good too. That's fucked up.
Both
fucked up, and that he's basically so over her and he's ready to kill her the next time
No. This is why she was driven to this, because as far back as I can remember, even before I knew like who magic really was, I always knew that Peter loved his sister.
Yeah,
but he has constantly put her on a pedestal, and it's maddening.
Oh yeah,
it's she absolutely is maddening.
She's evil.
There are no snowflakes in hell, Peter.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my god,
heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
It is. Yeah. But I mean,
he had it coming.
As far as the final issue goes, and AVX as a whole, I loved the idea and the concept, and I always went into each issue being really excited, but a lot of times by the time I put it down, I felt let down or confused, or I was like, where did this come from? Wait, all of a sudden Charles Xavier is important. All of a sudden, where's Hope? Where's Scarlet Witch? Oh, there they are in the last issue, again being very important.
Yep.
Iron Fist at one point was really important, but I don't think they even, you know, came back around to that.
No, a lot of ideas, but, they didn't play out.
I will say Uncanny X-Men 19, like, mm-hmm. It showed what Cyclops' point of view during the final issue, and in that one issue, it was everything I ever wanted from AVX.
Right.
He goes and he comes to the Phoenix. He's like, he like kills Beast and then he reanimates him. He's like, wait, did I do that on purpose, or did that even like?
It was totally a Dr. Manhattan, you know, thing from the Watchmen.
Yeah, and then he went up. He wanted to just escape because he has so much power, and he went up and hit like the roof of the universe, and it was the white hot room.
Yeah,
and he hears Jean Grey talking to him. She says, "You look like an idiot. Tell Logan I like the name of the school." And I was like, what?
Yeah.
So that sort of, I think, brought him back and made him realize, like, this is like too much. I shouldn't do this.
And that's what stopped him ultimately.
Yeah. Like that little touch. That should have been in the main book. Yeah. Like that was like the moment.
Bendis was saying the same thing on Word Balloon. He's like, there were these beats with Charles Xavier that he wrote into the Avengers that he absolutely thought should be in the main book, and they didn't.
No, yeah, exactly. I read that Avengers issue where it was sort of the big turn for Charles Xavier, because he was originally like, I wash my hands of this. I don't want to be a part of this. But his big turn where he decided to come back was in Avengers.
Yeah.
And he like mind wipes everybody and leaves. It was crazy. And then, like you said, the best part was when Cyclops says, there's more mutants. Like, if there's more mutants, then what I did was right. I would do this whole thing, the exact same thing again.
Yeah.
And I thought,
X-Men have been integrated and my mutant race has started. So I won, right?
Yeah. That was...
Don't make this about you.
No.
But I won.
Yeah.
But he wants to die. And he wants to die a martyr. And that's interesting. I do think that's interesting, although I hate that Scott Summers is in this place now, because I love Scott Summers. And I hate that that's where he's at.
Well,
but
okay, you're getting the kid again.
You're
getting Slim back.
Who? Oh, but see, fuck that. Because I think that's cheap. And I'm still not happy with that whole thing, other than maybe as a way to bring Gene back. But I mean, the rest of that whole thing, even the little the point one, which we want to talk about that too. There's part of me that rejects it.
Well,
the whole setup of that one,
it's just weird. It's like, okay, so you're gonna warn them of anything, of everything. So will any of this happen?
Yeah, I know.
No, that's the thing. I stand by. It's a way to reconcile the journey that you've been on. What better way to see how much these people have changed than to
contrast
them? To contrast them, to compare and contrast them with their future, their past selves, with their idealistic, you know, bouffant with the curly Q points, and seeing what life truly does to you.
I like that. There's a part of me.
How
that's
else
like
the, are they going to do it?
You're right.
Okay. Jean's going to be confronted with the fact of what she does as the Phoenix. Will she accept the Phoenix when the time comes?
Yeah, because they won't. Will she say yes or will she say no? They will not retcon their history. They will find a way to wipe their memories and just let it play out.
No, I don't think so. I think Jean, Jean will stay in some capacity.
I can
see
that.
And the rest of them may go back, and I don't know what they're going to do. If it's going to retcon things, I think Bendis absolutely has demonstrated he's willing to do that. I mean,
no more mutants.
The century, and no more mutants. I mean, he will make it work with the story he wants to tell. And I think you're right. It is a way to contrast.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
All these questions and these kind of confusion that we have now, I think once the series gets going, we'll sort of see where he's going with it. Because this is an ongoing series.
Yeah.
This is Bendis doing X-Men.
Yeah. It's going
to. This isn't a short-term thing.
No, he's going to do this for
years.
How long
was he on Avengers?
Years.
Like 6, 7, 8 years?
I don't know. But it's going to be interesting. And I'm very much on board. I will read it. I no doubt about that. But I do want to talk about the point one a little bit, because not only did it give us a preview of that, it gave us a preview of the new Nova. It gave us a preview.
Young Avengers, come on.
Young Avengers was amazing.
Miss America Chavez.
I actually was surprised that I liked Cable and X-Force. You leave him alone. No, I thought, because I don't know Dennis Hopeless at all. I don't know any of his stuff.
Yeah, where did he come from? Like, what did Dennis Hopeless? He's suddenly writing a lot of stuff now.
Yes, he is. He's doing the Avengers Deathmatch thing, Battle Royal.
I wonder what his like breakout book was.
Avengers Arena.
It brought Forge back in a cool way. The art was really actually quite good. I was surprised by the arts too. What?
That gimpy little arm.
Leave the gimp alone. What does that have to do with having a voice thing in your larynx? That is not the same.
Now that the technovirus is gone from him, when is he really there?
You all are terrible. This is Cable. Oh, I hate you all. So,
Sorry, that was awesome.
Can I just ask though, how did we feel about little Nick Fury, young Nick Fury Jr. As Samuel L. Jackson?
It's so bad.
It's such a fucking.
Who cares about Nick Fury? Unless you've read
Secret Warriors.
Yeah, unless you read Secret Warriors, you haven't given a flying fuck since the Secret War.
Actually. Well, maybe. Because they took him off the stage. But Secret Warriors was awesome. He's come back in Defenders, McKelvey's drawing.
Who's been reading Defenders?
Me.
I like Defenders, but it's not very good.
I like it. So I like old man Nick Fury, and I hate that the movies and the Ultimate Universe Nick Fury, not that I have a problem with that he's black.
The
I think that's awesome.
I like.
But I hate that they're having to fucking force it in to 616 continuity just to line up with the damn movie. I hate that.
Well,
even adding
what?
Coulson is just too much.
Relax, first of all, Coulson's a good character.
Yeah.
Coulson's a good character.
You're right.
Two, I don't think you understand what it's like to have to explain to people the difference between a movie and a comic book, because everyone takes one or the other as canon, and you have to realize that they're two different mediums. Sometimes they cross over.
Yes.
I'm not a huge fan of it either, but hey, 2 weeks from now, will people care when Nick Fury's kicking ass over again?
No, I know they won't. I know they won't. And that's part of the problem.
What I don't like about it, I don't have a problem that they did it. Yeah. I have a problem with that I'm very confused of his characterization. Like, in the point one, he seemed like an amateur. You know, he was kind of like being told what to do. And I was like, this isn't the Nick Fury that I like, that's like from the movie.
You're right.
And it's from the Ultimate Universe. So I was like, who is this person?
Well, he looks like the same guy, but he's not the same character.
Yeah, and he has Steve's Rogers Super Soldier costume on.
Yeah, it's fucking bizarre.
It's weird.
Well, it's U.S. Agent.
Oh, is that?
Yeah,
is that
it? It's his U.S. agent.
So the did you like the Star-Lord thing with Bendis? Because Bendis is writing Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, that's dumb too.
And it's like
he murders the mom and what? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Star-Lord origin.
Look at this.
It's the origin of Star-Lord.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just.
I'll say that entire point one was a $6.
$6.
That was a waste. A week earlier, they released a free preview.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Good.
Like that had all like the big books that you wanted to see, and it looked good. Whereas this had like all these like weird like. Like that story, the Guardians of the Galaxy one was like weird, and the Forge one I didn't like. I know you liked it, but I was like, all this like stuff.
Stop it!
I'm like, Cable alone.
I'm like, just bleh, bleh. No. Yeah, get the free one. Ignore this one.
I really, and I'm sorry, I did buy it, and I'll probably buy it again. God only knows. But I'm just, the point ones are always.
Although,
just,
there was a very two highlights. Young Avengers, we already talked
Young
about.
Young Avengers, yes.
But FF by Mike Allred.
See, that had been in the free preview, at least part of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was awesome because I love Allred and I love Fraction.
And that was a nice little one and done story.
It was.
The only one that made me laugh or
care. It was
care.
Very funny.
Yes.
Duchamp. I mean, how often do you see a comic where a freaking abstract, you know, Dadaist artist was represented in
Guess
that?
Guess what?
That was awesome.
Guess what?
What?
Nobody cares about Ant-Man. Nobody cares about his daughter. And that's why she died.
I liked it. I was a little unsure about Fraction taking over FF and Fantastic Four, but now I'm looking forward to it.
I think Fraction is finally finding his voice.
FF looks better than Fantastic Four, though.
Yes, and I know a Bagley daughter. We met her at Heroes Con. She was super sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk ill of her father, but I will say I don't necessarily enjoy his art as much as I used to. And
Stan Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, ever since Ultimate Spider-Man, it's been just sort of like Avengers Assemble just didn't look like a good Bagley, you know?
It looks, everybody looks too young.
Yeah.
That's why he was so good with Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Everybody looked that age.
Cartoony. I don't know.
What? Nova looks terrible.
It's so goofy. Jared, Mikoki, is that the artist friend of ours who listens to the show? Do you know them? Okay, one of the people who listened to our show, I apologize for mispronouncing, did a Nova bent over, like showing a bit of a little. I'll show you later.
Mio. Isn't he like
Mio? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That was kind of hot.
But is the Nova like?
Well, no. It's not.
This is a new Nova. We don't know who it is.
Yeah, it's a new Nova. But that's not.
Stop that.
That's not what It's not what any Nova fan has wanted. It's not. We don't care how the Nova Force escaped. We know the world mind always has a backup plan.
Yeah.
We want to know where the fuck has Star-Lord and Nova been.
Yep.
I don't care about this new person. He was the fucking Paul Revere of AVX.
Even mention that he showed up at the last issue.
Yeah, like
slapped Cyclops and then got taken out.
I'm not happy.
No.
I'm not happy. And Jeff Loeb. Really?
I know.
Really?
And even, what's his name? McGinnis. I just don't think, I don't like the style. But this Mio thing's pretty hot, so I'll show you later. So, Uncanny Avengers. We did talk a little bit about when the brother, Alex, shows up and talks to Cyclops.
Yes. Yeah, he's the leader of this team. Can you believe it?
It's interesting, and I'm kind of interested. This is Rick Remender, and what's the artist?
Cassidy,
who has not written an ongoing in a long time or done art. I thought up till the end, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. I like it's very much interesting kind of continuation of AVX. And then the fucking shit drops and Red Skull has Charles Xavier's brain in his hand, and I'm like, this is Rick Remender. This is what
funny,
I love.
Like, the most time I'm like, oh, Charles is not really dead. Charles is not really. And at the end of that issue, I was like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
He is so dead.
I mean, after fucking like Colossus, you think they would have done a little better job of protecting the dead bodies?
Oh,
of
I know, right? I mean, that's just silly. But no, I mean, Rick Remender, God bless him. I think he's awesome. I mean, even back when he came to the store and played dice with a couple of us hanging out there and had a great signing. I mean, he's just so awesome and like funny and dark and has these just crazy ideas. I mean, Fear Agent is such a tour de force. If you have not read this and you like science fiction or sort of pulp fiction, I mean, awesome, awesome stuff. And I love Secret Avengers and I love Uncanny X-Force. And
Secret Avengers started off good, and then it went to AVX. And
well, no, it's better now. It's back out of that. So yeah, no, that we're not going to talk too much about that. But it is actually back to what he wanted to do,
okay.
And he's going to finish it really strong. And it's been actually this new issue was awesome. They had the Undead Avengers. Okay. It had okay. So these are also Remender people. They had Dr. Voodoo.
Okay. The ghost of Dr.
The
Voodoo.
The ghost of Dr. Voodoo. They had
Werewolf Cap.
And Secret of
Werewolf Cap.
Werecap.
The latest issue.
Oh.
They had Frankencastle.
Frankencastle. Oh,
and I forgot what else. But I mean, basically, all of these kind of things that he had done and other things, they were in this alternate universe parallel thing with Captain Britain Corps. And he is such a huge X-Men fan, obviously with Uncanny X-Force, that I've been so happy to see him rise to this, you know, prominence in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, the flagship delayed book. Yeah. It's
oh,
great.
Oh, God. Don't even start.
Already delayed.
7 weeks. It's all fucking Cassidy. How long did Planetary take to finish? Like years?
Yeah. Wasn't that the same? Astonishing X-Men had a bunch of big delays, too.
Yeah. So.
No, yeah, you think for the flagship book, they would have, I don't know.
Wanted a little bit of art ahead of time. Yeah.
Yeah, like. Getting...
What are you going to do? So, did we all, so Uncanny Avengers, we liked.
Yes.
Yeah, loved it. Loved it.
What about.
Babies!
A Babies versus X Babies.
It's so good.
It's adorable. It's really well written.
Tiny Titans is better.
It's. Tiny Titans is, you know what?
It's totally a Tiny Titans.
I love how the Phoenix was like totally a little chicken.
I know.
Oh, the Phoenix was chicken. That's cute. But no, I mean, this is the shtick
that
Tiny Titans has done for years, and it's hilarious and cute, but I just felt like kind of like, I mean, I like Scotty Young a lot, and I like the
Scotty
artist.
Scotty Snotty?
The artist was this like Japanese duo, this team. It wasn't even him, and I was like, "What?"
Yeah, he wrote it. Right?
He wrote it,
but it was cute. But I just was kind of like, okay. Again, Tiny Titans and even the new Superman Family Adventures have been doing this great shtick for years, and now Marvel's saying, "Oh, well, they should do this too." And I don't know. I just
it was good. It was derivative. A one shot. It was adorable.
No,
I want to see
adorable.
Civil War Babies. I want to see Secret Event. Secret
no,
Invasion
yeah.
Babies.
No, I think
my
we can stop
dream
there.
Commission is to get Darth Maul baby fighting baby Obi-Wan and baby Qui-Gon Jinn from
oh
Star
God.
Wars.
You're gonna pay a lot for that.
I will get it. It'll go on my wall.
Can we talk about? And we need to. Jonathan Hickman finished his run on Fantastic Four and FF. Fantastic Four was great. It kind of did the heavy lifting of the story, ended that all. But FF made me cry.
I wanted to cry, but no, yeah.
I cried. I had a tear fall from my eye onto my book. And so, I mean, it emotionally, it ended this amazing arc with such a personal family moment with future...
Mr. Franklin.
Yeah, future Franklin and his whole family. And emphasizing just these great character moments where, you know, Uncle Ben, you know, you're such a great uncle. And they told that zany story about the Impossible Man being the Thing's underwear because for some reason the Thing is naked in this big battle.
Mm-hmm.
And the Impossible Man, that green, like, you know, whatever,
Mixoplex.
Yeah, that guy. Or the Great Gazoo kind of character. Like, he can do any shape, whatever, and he's like his underwear. That was hilarious. But then these tender moments about, you know, Reed and Sue are like, Bull, tell us, were we good parents?
Yeah.
And he just like, yeah, you were the best. I mean, so many little moments like that that are so personal and so driven by personal, like, family beats and, oh, God, just... I love it.
No,
I love
yeah.
it.
The line
it's
that
so
got
beautiful.
Me was when he told him, he was telling about the door. It's
oh,
like,
yes.
It's not what you are, it's what you can be.
Yes.
And I that's when it hit me. And
yes.
I was like, man, I cannot wait for Avengers.
Oh, my God. And the whole...
I will say this. I thought the final issues were really good, but the last story arcs for both of, like, Fantastic
yeah.
Four and FF were just...
they were
terrible.
Sort of one offs.
They were treading water before Marvel now, I'm sure. Because he finished his big story months and months at the beginning of the year. And so, but he had to wait till now to actually give us the end.
But it's called, like, I mean, if you're a Hickman, I expect Hickman level stuff from you. Not all the time, but don't just say, hey, I'm just tap dancing until I'm. Tell like my number's up, and then I just go. Like you can't do that. That's I so respected this book. I plugged the hell out of it, trying to get people to buy it because it was just a really great run on Fantastic Four and FF. And as soon as everyone was like, "Yeah, or it's right," people started dropping it like flies because it was terrible.
It just wasn't as strong of an arc. It had this very kind of one off thing, but. The story did continue in little ways, and like the writing, Hickman has not only this great concept for high adventure, high sci-fi concept, all this stuff, he's so personal and so like you can feel the love come out of this man's writing.
No, I completely understand that. Like, I won't complain.
These lines like, so here's the thing about adventure, it's really all there is. And then he does the thing about rules, and he's like, here's the thing about rules, there aren't any, and it's just got this amazing,
but
like...
But don't cuss.
But don't cuss, yeah, try not to cuss. I mean, like, not only can you just, like, feel the cool sci-fi adventure concepts and just crazy ideas, but, I mean, just the love of a parent is so heavy in this book, and it makes sense. It's the Fantastic Four.
Does he have kids?
Oh, yeah, of course. And the thing at the end, did you read the afterword?
Yeah, I read the afterword.
I mean, he was like, I'm not going to tell you what my rules were for this book, blah, blah, blah. But he said, it's really important that I wrote a book about a family that works as a family because there's so much fucked up in this world right now. There's so many families that are falling apart. It's important for me to tell a story about a family that chooses to stay together as a family over everything else.
Right.
I think that's beautiful. I think it's absolutely beautiful, and I don't see it with all these freaking relationships and comics kind of dissolving. You know, Superman lost his underwear and his parents and his wife and you know, Spider-Man, of course, and Mary Jane. You know, that's the whole joke. You know, the comic shop, they had one guy, he had a sign anyway. But I mean, all these things, all these relationships that are just totally dissolving in comics because they think it's better story if they're single or if they can have. That Hickman said, no, I'm going to keep this family together. Yeah, we're going to kill somebody off, but he's going to come back. But, I mean, just telling this family, I love it. It's beautiful. So,
family!
It's important. So, okay. Hawkeye.
Hey, how dare you? Hawkeye is so good.
Hawk blocking. The third issue, and not only is the art amazing and the writing's great, but this third issue has... Clint Barton having sexy time with this chick he wants to buy a car from, whatever. And the assassins start to come and attack him, and he leaps over from a bed, and he's completely naked. And they put the old school Hawkeye face right over his junk. I laughed.
It's cute.
I laughed.
I died. Yeah.
It was so funny. And I know people have done this before. Like, I know this isn't the first one. I think Harvey Birdman might have done this way back in the day. But it's hilarious, and I loved it. So
yeah, it's the book. Every issue is a complete wonderful surprise. Like it's top notch, and it's not like superhero really. It's when he's not being a superhero, and there's the shenanigans he gets into in his normal life. Pizza dog. He was eating pizza.
Yes.
It's a testament to people complaining about one and dones and how they can't be done and why. But there's. This certain customer who I actually like, but he's upset where Fantastic Four will be going with one and dones. I'm just like, well, it's Fraction. Fraction can do one and dones. Fraction, when Fraction focuses, I don't have a problem with him.
Right.
I think he's really great. It's when he does these like big...
Fear itself.
Yeah, when he does these big events or has these huge monumental things he wants to convey, I feel like they always get lost in the sauce. But let's move on.
Do we still like Daredevil?
Yes.
Yeah.
The last issue.
You can
call
me Coyote.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
Spot evolved into the Coyote.
The Spot is actually one of my favorite.
I read the End of Days.
End of Days was good.
That I liked.
Okay.
Ooh, that was gross.
But I haven't read the regular.
It's just very interesting because it started out such a fun, carefree book, and now it's delving into someone who's just totally fucking with Matt. And destroying his life and destroying what he knows. They brought
back the
Mia,
really?
the chick chick from the Dark Bendis shit who he left in a mental institution because she's crazy. And they're bringing all these elements from the old stuff back. But the art's still great because it's got Samney doing art now. And the story is interesting enough, but I kind of miss the carefree Daredevil that he started with.
Well, you know? I mean, yes, I know what you mean.
But I mean, it's not
but
bad.
I feel like he's sort of like coming overcoming that because he's being dragged back down, but it'll be a testament to if he is really kind of reformed that if he bounces back from this. Because this is some fucked up shit with Coyote.
Yeah,
or the Spot. The Spot's been one of my favorite villains ever since he was in that episode of Spider-Man.
Look, girls,
like the
I gotta
animated
buy shoes
series.
Tonight. I gotta buy shoes. Can we wrap up Daredevil?
You know, Walmart's open to like.
I'm not going to Walmart.
Why? They're just getting stolen.
Sports Authority's closed. Where are you going, huh?
Target.
Target's closed too.
No, it's not.
It closes at 10.
Yeah, I think it's 10.
I thought they close at 11.
Do they?
I don't know. So Daredevil, we like Daredevil.
Daredevil's really cool.
But, great, moving on.
All right, moving on. So DC time. Now, the Third Army thing is creepy as shit. Oh. I don't really like this. I don't like that Ganthan is bad.
It's the Borg.
It is the Phalanx. It is the Borg. It is the Cybermen. It's all that. But I haven't been reading any of the other books. All I know is what's happening in the main book, Green Lantern. And
I've been reading them all. Let me tell you something.
Is it good?
Core, who cares? But Guardians was very good.
Do you know what they're doing? Do you want to know how they convert lanterns?
Yes.
They rip their ring arms off.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Vandor from Green Lantern Corps, who's been around for a year, he's a new character for the New 52. His arm just gets ripped off, and then they get rid of the ring so they can take over the body because the shield's gone, and they convert him like those tendrils like wrapping over their face.
It's fucked up.
Their eyes coming
through. Oh God, the eyes thing creeps me out.
And Red Lanterns, which is absolutely terrible. The artist on that makes them look like sickeningly disgusting.
Really,
like,
disgusting.
10 times. Did you read Red Lantern?
Yeah, I went to
10 times. Like scarier, freakier than anyone else is drawn them or is bound to draw them.
But in the annual, we already saw where it was going. I mean, the Guardians are like, we have a way of fail safe in case, so we know the fail safe is not going to work against this Third Army,
right?
And that's when the other Lanterns are going to have to step in.
Of course,
yeah.
But I don't know.
What Kyle Rayner is doing is pretty cool.
That was cool.
Carol's like, oh man, you know, Hal's gone, so we need to bring, he might be dead, we have to bring him back to life. I'm going to help Kyle become the White Lantern again. So Kyle's going to each different lantern, goes to like Atrocitus, and she's tries to learn how to like harness rage, and like, he's going, that's like his goal. And he wants to use the power to take on the Guardians.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But Carol, her like ulterior motive is to
bring back Hal.
Yeah,
bring back.
But we know they're not really dead. They're just like shunted into the ring or got.
Yeah,
the book.
I think they're
like
in the book.
They might be in the book of black
or
the death dimension. I don't know.
Like his ring,
microverse. Yeah. So, the Joker. This is really what a lot of people. Wasn't that bad?
What?
They brought back Janet. That's all that matters. So
Janet. Fuck Janet. Fuck the Wasp. Fuck.
Wow.
I hate the Wasp.
Wow.
I hate the Wasp.
Everybody
it's
will have
stupid.
Great fashion sense. It's
are you this are is, you this talking how, as you
no,
or Wanda?
No, I'm talking
Wanda.
Is this what he wants to end
his
Avengers
run
on?
Back. He's putting everything back the way he found it.
No.
It's what he's doing.
Sometimes it's
Wonder
better.
Man is good again.
No. Sometimes
Wonder
it's better.
Vision is back.
Vision's
well,
back.
Vision just showed up.
Are you going to let me
back.
Finish? Are you going to let
can
me
I finish?
Finish?
Can I finish? Yes,
thank you.
Please.
No. You. What you're doing is resetting the stage, which for me tells me that your Avengers run was shitty and it has no bearing.
So now
it
we're
has
giving
no bearing.
Hickman everybody back, so now Hickman to do with what he will.
Hickman
if you
can
like
kill them
Hickman,
now.
He'll probably do a good job with Janet. Just trust in him and maybe she won't be as prominent.
Maybe, but it's not just
we
Janet.
Need new
it's
why do you like new no.
Janet?
Why?
Janet's
the cartoon Janet.
Jocasta means nothing.
Well, fuck Jocasta.
The whole
the cartoon
like, Ant-Man, Giant
awesome.
Man, Yellow awesome. Jacket, whatever he wants to call himself, you know, on a
him.
Day ending in the word
him.
Game. Like it's just
Hank.
It's just
like
it's,
Hanks.
It makes
where you hang out.
It makes me so angry. It's like why we didn't like Fear itself. Because nothing happened. Nothing happened.
But that's comics.
After years, no.
I have no power over him.
No. After years of me trying to
it's
like
the
Avengers,
Wasp. Let it go,
no,
girl.
No. After,
it's the Wasp.
No, this
let
is,
it
no.
go.
This is what I'm
can
angry
shrink
about.
And she
this
shoots is, little.
Shut
look.
Shut
be thankful
up,
you
shut
remember
up.
Who you are.
No. This is what makes me angry because after years of trying to get into Avengers, after years of trying to like these characters, after years of saying, okay, I'm going to learn this history,
yep.
you just told me that everything you did, everything we went through, meant nothing. And that's why I don't trust him as a writer. That's exactly why.
It doesn't mean nothing if you bring a character back to life.
No. What I'm saying is, there's a difference between going on a journey and coming full circle
wow.
and going on a journey and just resetting the pieces. It's like restarting Minesweeper.
The only thing I have to agree with Oral is that here's your Hank Pym, who's supposed to be this brilliant scientist. Mm-hmm. You didn't think of looking in the microverse for her.
Well, but I thought in Mighty Avengers, they actually referenced
the hell is
something.
Going on?
My dog is eating, I think, potato chips. He referenced the fact that Janet had gone below the whatever and had ascended to like the structure of the universe. I mean, they showed it on Bleeding Cool the other day. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I don't know. We'll move on. We're in DC. We should.
We're
talk
in
about
DC.
We got Oral totally
back
totally
to the
off
Joker. Back to the Joker.
I don't know how we got to this. I think it was my fault.
Joker's back.
So I've only read
Mr. J.
Batman,
which is good enough.
Okay. So far, like, I'm interested in what he's going to do, but quite honestly, I'm just kind of like, I don't know. Am I crazy?
I loved it. I loved the joke.
Why?
He was very creepy. He was creepier than I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't been around. Now that I like, but Batgirl, you know, I want to see what's going to happen because
right.
he's got to know by now that Barbara Gordon's Batgirl.
Right.
So I want to see how he's going to work with that. Catwoman, I don't even know why that tied into this at all.
Yeah.
This had nothing. Her issue was just, I was excited to read it.
Yeah. I've given up on Catwoman. When Winnick left the title, I left the title. I'm like, no, I'm done.
Yeah, because it was so good before.
It was really good.
But I thought it was good. It had the mask, you know. I thought it was going to be a real direct tie-in.
Right.
You know, I don't know who any of those people are. I didn't know she had a fucking brother. I'm like, who are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
she has
right.
a brother.
The Zero issue.
That
supposedly
her lot in life was to protect him. I'm like, really? I never knew about this man for the past year.
I don't know.
I really liked it. Him, like, moving around in, like, the shadows and, like, killing people, like,
he's
murdering.
Like Batman.
Stop me if you heard this one. Snap. Stop me if you heard this one. Crack.
Yeah.
No, that was fucked up. And then the closing image of him attacking Alfred.
Which, does that mean he knows the secret identity?
That's, we don't know. You would assume, but you don't know.
Well, then the backup story with him and Harley. Harley, when did I ever find you attractive?
Ooh,
that hurt.
Cold.
That hurt.
That was really cold. And then the whole tie with the Red Hood. That'll be interesting. So what's he doing with Jason? Is that all going to come to play?
Well, in January? No, December? January. It goes into everybody's book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody. Teen Titans included.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Tim Drake.
Who was never Robin.
Goes after everybody.
No.
All right, the Robin. Speculation is, can we speculate about who's going to bite it? Nightwing would bite it.
Oh.
It doesn't necessarily mean that Nightwing has to be Dick Grayson. This is supposing Tim Drake fills into Nightwing's
shoes.
That's
dumb. I don't want to kill off Dick.
Yeah, I mean,
don't kill Dick. Keep Dick around and alive.
It sounds very gay. Lays
for gays.
Would die. I don't think Alfred could really go. I mean,
I don't think he's gonna die, but he's gonna get hurt pretty bad.
I definitely think Barbara's mother's gonna bite it.
Well, that's
nobody cared about.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
that's why I think she's gonna bite it.
No title characters are gonna bite it.
Yeah. Well, unless their books.
A lot of supporting characters
are,
you know. What happened last time the Joker was around? It was in the Black Mirror. That's the last time Scott Snyder wrote him. Uh-huh. And he didn't kill...
What was it? Was
did
it
he
the
kill
Joker?
Her? He cut the lips off of somebody's wife. Gordon's ex-wife, right?
I don't remember that. I thought the last time he was around with Grant Morrison's Oberon, whatever.
Batman and Robin.
Oberon and Sexton.
Yeah,
whatever.
That was
Sexton.
The Joker. And
yeah.
That was cool. I actually really liked that. Let's talk about Batman Incorporated real quick.
Ugh.
No, I love it. I love the whole Batman around the world, but what was cool is Jason Todd was one of the Batmen from around the world, and when Robin, Damian, realized that, he was really pissed off at Bruce because he's like, how can you do this? How can you work with this guy who is totally against your code? And it had all the whole Talia stuff, the recent issue?
The only thing that I scanned the recent issue, and the only thing that intrigued me was Damian, this has to stop. Bruce going to Damian, you just have to stop.
Well, yeah, and then at the end, he basically said, you need to go back to your mother. So the whole Batman Incorporated thing is coming full circle. Morrison's whole run is coming full circle, where he introduced this Damian character as Batman's son, and now he's like trying to end it with
Wingman. With Wingman,
well,
you're my Wingman.
No. I love. Well, I'm a bit biased, but I mean, I love Morrison. I love what he's doing with these Batmans around the world, and I think it's cool he's trying to tie it all together, and that will be interesting.
Wingman.
Yeah.
Wingman.
So, did we all read Justice League, and did we all agree that probably Tony Daniels' art is stronger than Jim Lee's?
Yeah.
I did like it very much.
Jim Lee's, he does have those like really harsh lines and that really sketchy style, but Tony Daniels, like, he cleaned it up, and Wonder Woman looked great fighting Cheetah. Cheetah is a badass. I was waiting for that, because when I saw the whole league fighting Cheetah, I was like, this is a joke. But no, Cheetah is like super powerful, like really fast. Mm-hmm. She can like scratch the Flash, I guess, and bite Superman. Yeah. And she's a vampire. I don't know.
She turns other people into her.
It's like a werewolf, I guess.
It's weird. And it's cool.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman failed her, so she feels really guilty about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how Geoff Johns? I'm not saying that Justice League is bad. The last story arc was kind of rough, but you know, whatever. Everyone has their Green sophomore slump. But have you noticed how he can write certain characters really well, but other characters fall to the wayside?
Yes.
Like his Wonder Woman is terrible. Like his portrayal of Wonder Woman, I don't like.
It's not as strong in Azzarello's, but it's still aspect of Azzarello.
Kind of.
She's supermodelish for me in Justice
League. I mean, Flash, well, nobody can help Flash now. And, you know, Green Lantern.
Whoa, back that shit up. You're saying you don't like the Flash book?
No.
Why
Flash
not?
Flash book is pretty bad.
Yeah. No, it's, okay. Have we read a different book? The Rogue stuff they're doing recently is great.
Sleeveless what? Shirt of Captain Cole.
No. Okay. Shit. Look,
that book is weak sauce, man.
I don't think so at all.
I like the art, but the plot is total weak sauce.
I don't think so at all. I don't know that I love some of the elements of the story, but Monopole's art and the plotting and even the idea of the Rogues, it's very much a callback to what Johns did. Ooh. With the whole Rogues being bad guys, but with a code, and how the Grodd army invades, Central City, and they band together. By the way, can we just say one thing about Arrow? The fact that they change it from Star to Starling City is bullshit.
Okay, you did hear that? I was like, did I hear that?
It's bullshit, and I don't know what the fuck they're saying. Anyway, so, no, I mean, the fact, the Grodd army and how they're tying to the Speed Force, I mean, yeah, I don't think it's as strong as John's stuff, but the last issue, anyway, I just thought it was awesome, so I guess I'm the only one.
I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of Flash.
I read the first issue.
How was Talon and then the Sword of Sorcery? These new books.
Well, Talon, I was just like okay, and I was like eh.
Yeah. Talon, the last part of it was good. Most of it was just very wordy.
I like the fight. Yeah,
it's a solid start to a series. Yeah. Like
he has his Alfred.
Yeah, it's not stellar. I'm not going to scream, you know, about its wonders to the world, but it's decent.
Yeah, it was solid. It was a good debut, better than a lot of the other debuts.
It was very talky.
Like Sword of Sorcery, which had an attempted rape scene, a super awkward, really
first
weird.
First of all, I like it's Sword of Sorcery is Game of Thrones meets Gem and the Hologram.
Right,
like,
so.
Well, that just sounds terrible.
I bought it. Did I talk about this last time? I bought the Zero issue because I thought it had something to do with Jim and the Holograms, and I found out, it's just because it's the same writer.
Yeah.
And we didn't actually talk about the Jim thing, which is sad, but we'll have to say that for another day. But no, the first proper issue.
No. I've read the first issue. I thought we hadn't. Did we talk about it last time?
Issue one?
I don't remember.
We might have.
This is where it gets really confusing, too.
Either way, I was just.
Supposedly, there's like a Beowulf backup, though.
By Tony Bedard.
It is?
Yeah. It's a mix of like medieval and modern stuff.
Yeah, because it's tied with like Wayne Tech or something.
I have no idea.
There's something about
Wayne
Tech.
I don't know
Tech
when it's
and...
like what the year is or when it's supposed to be, but it's okay. I like it better than the main story.
Importantly, before Watchmen, the Minutemen series.
Oh, so sad.
The lesbians.
Minutemen, so sad.
Oh my God.
I haven't read it.
It's sad and amazing and good, and I think it's probably the only one worthy, I think, of being this whole Watchmen, you know, filling in the gaps kind of thing. Now, Silk Spectre is awesome. I love the art and I love the story, but it almost has like zero to do with the Watchmen itself, other than the fact that, you know, Silk Spectre's a character. But no, Minutemen is awesome. And I even, as much as I do like JMS, but Dr. Manhattan, it's really like a rehash of the whole thing. You know, he's jumping around in time, all this bullshit.
It is.
But it's well done, and it looks great.
His Night Owl's good.
Is it good, too?
Yeah, I like Night Owl. And Azzarello's writing Rorschach. Yeah.
Comedian is... I like the first two. Comedian's okay still, but Rorschach has been solid.
And finally, unless we have other things that we'll throw in here, Rot World is running in the different books.
I like that. I'm not reading Swamp Thing, but I'm reading Animal Man, and it works just by itself.
They're independent. They're completely independent.
Okay, but and now that goes, I've been reading Justice League Dark,
yeah.
Do you know about Black Orchid?
She's got power.
She has both.
Yeah.
So yeah. What's that about?
Is this gonna all tie? They gonna be tied into it now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Black Orchid's there in the future with Animal Man. It's like Black Orchid, Animal Man.
Poison Ivy. Who bitch got her arm bit off?
Yeah, Steel. He has no organic. He's just a machine. Yeah. He put his consciousness into a machine,
right?
So he couldn't be taken over by the.
I
rot.
Just don't know how they're and, gonna. It's like in the future. I don't know how they're gonna.
Don't worry, man.
I know, but okay. I want to know.
Be okay, man.
Yeah,
just let it happen. But
eat some of Swamp Thing's fruit and just take it easy.
Yeah, man.
Have a
go
cool sex dream.
And, yeah.
The three books that people should be reading are Animal Man, Swamp Thing, and Justice League Dark.
And I Vampire.
The three books that people should be reading are Animal Man, Swamp Thing, and Justice League Dark.
Yo, don't diss I Vampire.
See, I don't read Animal Man. I read Swamp Thing and Justice League Dark.
Swamp Thing or Animal Man's really good.
Lemire, Justice League Dark now is pretty good. They had a house chase.
That was ridiculous.
The house chase
scene. That creeps me out, and that girl fucking creeps me out.
Oh,
that
black
woman.
Oh.
Who? His daughter.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Creeps
yeah, yeah.
me
oh.
out. And that's when I was like, oh, no, Maxine. I can't read this.
Maxine.
I can't read this.
Yes. Any other books that we want to talk about before we sign off?
Do we want to toss out any predictions for Amazing Spider-Man?
Superior Spider-Man?
Superior Spider-Man. Dan Slott came out and said when Amazing Spider-Man is going to end at 700, and then he's going to relaunch it as Superior Spider-Man, and it's not Peter Parker.
That's what he
I think
says.
Peter Parker's changing his name.
That's kind of what I think,
that
too.
Now that his spell has been broken, and everybody's starting to figure out that Peter Parker's Spider-Man, I think the identity is going to change.
Yeah, I think it's still Peter.
Because MJ is going to be going out with Spider-Man, who's not Peter Parker.
Did you see the picture? She did not look pleased to be kissed by Spider-Man. She was, like, in shock, and he was almost forcing himself on her. It was messed up.
Well, it is going to be interesting. I think
that's a good theory,
Peter
though.
Peter Parker will come back in some form if it's not just an alias, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I just think he's got
he has claws and he has his fingers, and he has like the toe claw too.
Yeah.
See that? What's Aaron?
And his costume?
2099 Spider-Man.
Yeah. No.
What's his name?
Oh my god!
It's Jamie
Sanchez or Rodriguez or
Miles Morales.
But he's the one who had the little claw thing.
Interesting.
Oh, yes. And I don't know. Is anyone reading it besides me?
I'm reading it.
I don't like Spider-Man.
Right now, they just had the two... the old Hobgoblin... Old Hobgoblin came back and is fighting the new Hobgoblin.
Ooh.
And but for the moment, they decided to team up to try and kill Peter Parker.
Goblins
now,
to
I
the
thought
left
that
right.
Dr. Octopus was the big...
Well, that is going to start... That no, no, no. That is going to lead into 700. I think 98, 99, and 700... are all Doc Ock, but right now it's Hobgoblin and Kingpin.
Well, I'm interested, but I don't know. So, anything else book wise? No,
we're done.
Jared, please.
Jared raised his hand.
I know.
Patiently,
you are.
The last
you
second. You waited 2 hours.
Fucking
for that.
Comic section.
Get man in the corner.
God damn it.
Well,
no class comics.
Yes. Oh my god. You have. I mean, this is huge. I think this is huge.
Yes, I'm published again.
What I'm confused about is there's like several variant issues. It's like they're not just doing one Class Comics Halloween thing.
It's two issues. It's the treat issue, which is just pinups. And
then
there's the trick, which is just all single page comics.
And which one
no
did
dialogue.
You do?
I did just the treat.
Okay, cool. So it's available digitally if you can't find it in your stores. And let's face it, it's not going to be in our store either. So go online, Class Comics. They have a great little storefront. You can get it. I think it goes on your iPad, your Kindle. I mean, all the devices. And yeah, you got a. What character did you do?
I did Patrick Fillion's character, Camilla Cat.
You did Camilla Cat?
Yes.
You never told me.
I showed you the picture.
Oh, wait a minute. You didn't tell me what it was for. I thought you were just doing Camilla Cat.
No, this is huge. Class Comics, yes, they are a little more sort of hypersexual, let's say, than other gay comics, but They're very sexy, and the characters are very unique and very interesting. And I mean, this is huge.
Am I the only one who's actually read the comics?
I haven't. No, I've read them.
I flipped through them at the stores to have them, like usually like gay stores wherever. Yeah. But I've never bought one because they're so expensive. They're like $8.
You know, it's $7, $6, $7
Yeah, for an issue, a black and white. I'm just like,
It's
support the art.
Yeah, support the art.
I will buy some porn. But I'll buy a DLS. No, I'm going to buy his issue of this. Absolutely.
How are we
going
to convince him to do that?
The artwork is gorgeous.
Yeah.
The writing, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's funny, sexy. It's just it's great to.
You know, it looks gorgeous. I mean, what I've seen of the art, they have this huge like multi-panel thing, and it looks all of them look great. But please, Treat. That's the one to get, right?
Yeah, the Treat issue.
The Treat issue, and get both of them. And they're like, I don't know how much they are. They're not as expensive digitally. I
this
think
is
like
online though.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we'll have a link to it.
We absolutely will have a link to it,
and we'll also have a link to our Twitter, which is
at Flame On Podcast.
You know, it's funny. There's a lot of people. Like, I will just watch it, and there are people following us every day. Like, just new people pop in there.
No, yeah.
And we're big friends now with, like, Charlie Harding and some of the other porn stars we met at Bear Bust. And, I mean, it's the Twitter thing is definitely it. We are keeping up with it more than we had, and it's growing.
Yes,
so I'm
you can
very
like
happy.
You can like our Facebook page as well.
Which, by the way, Facebook can fucking suck it because
yeah.
That whole policy now where if you don't promote your thing, if you want to see our posts on Facebook, you have to go in and add us to an interest list, which is the most non-intuitive bullshit I've ever seen in my life. But the good news is you can do that and you'll see our posts, or you can go on Google Plus. And I know
what's
there's
that?
Like five
that's
of you
Google
out there that use it. But as Facebook gets more and more shitty, more and more shitty, guess where people are going to go?
Google.
Facebook used to be like the cool place to go. Then it was the popular place to go. Then it was just where everyone is. And now people are going to start leaving
it's
it.
It's the new MySpace.
Yeah.
So we are on Google Plus, and we actually put all our episodes up there. I will try to take more of an initiative to put our content like we post throughout the week on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hit us up. Give us feedback.
We're on Tumblr.
If you have any questions for our question segment, you can ask them for a relationship and dating
back.
Advice.
It will come back.
How's that blowing up for you? Well...
And people call me the bitch.
Well, listen, let's not be throwing stones, honey.
Look,
do you know what
laid.
I'm saying?
I got laid. Listen, all that matters. I got laid.
We cannot be throwing anything.
Nose in glass houses.
Exactly.
Not.
Exactly. And the sisters episode will be up very shortly after this one. And we have a couple other microsodes coming up, but I don't want to talk about yet because they're not done. But when they are, we will. And on that note,
flame off. 'Cause you can't.